This week, Walmart Canada may have let the cat out of the bag, listing handfuls of titles possibly to be officially announced at E3. Strangely, all of them could be easily guessed, minor typos notwithstanding. That's just one headline. Stay tuned for plenty more people-powered discussion starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back. It's another week of the show where every gamer has a voice, Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight, May the 13th, 2018, with episode number 730 of our show. My name is Rob Roberts, or you might follow me on Twitter at Sky, S-K-I-E. Joining me, sadly not tonight, the one and only Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers, but if you were listening last week, you heard our little tangent about DragCon, and that's where she is at tonight. So she's been putting a lot of pictures over on her Instagram and all that stuff, so it looks like she's having a great time, and I'm sure she'll tell us a little bit about it next week, although I don't think there's a lot of video game content to announce, but I think maybe some TV stuff. I don't know. Anyway, but joining me here in studio to hold down the fort this week, say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hey, Loki, how are you?
I'm fine.
Yeah? Good. How's things going well for you?
Sure. I've been driving around town trying to scour Lego deals. The problem is, like, there's some inventory sites online that aren't exactly accurate. And so, like, there was one they had was the Destiny's Bounty, which is the Ninjago ship from the movie, which is normally like a $160 set, but it was marked, they were closing it out at certain locations at Walmart for $40. So I was like, shit, I want to get that for $40 because that's a steal. But all the locations that supposedly had it in stock, and it's been that way for weeks now, don't have it. So
It's funny you bring that up because I still don't have that Tron Lego set that came out like a few weeks ago.
I gotta get it from the Lego store.
I know. Yeah, that one has to come from official channels. Well, so let me backtrack a little bit, because to set up this story, I need to wish all of our mothers out there a happy Mother's Day, all the mommy gamers out there, you know, and of course, you know, if you consider yourself a mother, if that is to a fur child or you got a single parent situation going on, then all the people who consider themselves mothers and mommy gamers, I hope y'all are having a fantastic day today. So I say that because even though those of you that have listened to the show for a while know that I lost my mom last year, that the party must go on, so to speak. So we had like a family thing in Old Town today with my dad and my sister and myself and Alan. So while we were there, we went over to, you know how some of the like Old Town shops can be very kitschy here in Sacramento, like, you know, lots of like candy barrel stores and, you know, souvenir like
sock stores. There's so many sock stores.
And find a license plate with your name on it that says, you know, beautiful Sacramento or California.
Bort license plate.
Exactly. Those types of things. So anyway, there was a little story that there's actually kind of a neat store there. It's the same place that has like the retro arcade games for 50 cents a pop, even though I kind of laugh like, my God, trying to play like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from, you know, the 90s on 50 cents a credit. But I got to say, those machines are in great condition. Like, sometimes you see classic games and a few of them are, like, really run down. I will give this store props. Like, I don't know who's maintaining those cabinets, but they're doing a great job because they're all in great
condition. They're probably still getting that kind of money. It's like, well, we could charge 25 cents, but people are paying 50 cents.
Right, it's all tourists. And you get kids in there, and kids are like, mommy, 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 mommy. So, you know, because that's what kids do, right? Like, guess what your kids do?
Yes.
Mommy, 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 mommy.
It's what they do.
So they get, you know, here's 50 cents, shut up, right? And then that'll get you maybe 45 seconds on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or whatever it is. But anyway, so they also have Legos and like other, this store is set up like a Disney souvenir shop where like you can walk from one store. I think it's like all five stores like owned by the same people, because you can walk like from the nerdy store to the like a painting store with nerdy stuff in it to the, and it's like candy. I think there's a candy thing too, because everything in Old Town is candy. And so like you can kind of walk through it kind of like a Disneyland. How, like,
maybe
all
that
the stores
was the
connected.
Old, that must be the old costume shop that they had there, because they had one.
No,
it
not,
was
not Evangeline's. That's still there.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I remember that one had kind of where you can walk next door too.
Yes, but that was because it was all the same store basically. Yeah. But yeah, no, this one is some other, I don't know what it used to be. I don't remember. So I feel like it might have been like a mall of stores before. And so maybe they've converted it into this. But anyway, so they had the Legos there and Alan started looking and I'm like, oh, what are you looking for? He's like, I'm trying to get you the Tron thing. And I'm like, well, I think that's only at the official sources, sadly, because those contest winners, that's what they're for, right? They're not going to go into mass production or anything like that.
Yeah, they don't really put those in. Well, that's not necessarily true, because you do see a lot of those. They still like carry those at Barnes & Noble. So you will have those there, but you don't see them very spread out. I think the Tron one, though, is exclusive to Shop at Home, the Lego Shop at Home, their website, and the Lego stores.
So yeah.
That's where I just ordered it from the website. And honestly, like, it's an okay set. I have mine on display, but it's just like, it took me like 30 minutes to put it together, and I was just like,
well, it's one of those things I just want to own for the novelty, for the fact that it's Tron.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
I mean, it is cool, but like, I've put together, you know, many better sets. And
Loki, maybe if they sell enough of those, Disney will make a third movie.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I can dream. Damn it, I can dream. Hi to our chatters over at live.vognetwork.com, because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show, who's back this week. So welcome back, Bobby. And happy belated birthday, Bobby Blackwolf.
Yes, happy birthday.
Because I forgot to say it on your show, because I got all flustered because I swore on the Bobby Blackwolf Show. And Bobby has a wholesome family show that you can listen to on the speakers.
Even I know that.
Yeah, and I... No, you don't. And I said a very brown word on his show that he will now have to go back and censor. So sorry about that. So, but here at OLR, we are... What was the tweet that... Donovan sent us earlier. We're the Tarantinos of the podcasting with our language. So, you know, what the fuck ever. Anyway, so Bobby Blackwolf is in chat saying yes.
The Tarantinos, the John Waters.
They are in Lego stores. They had a bunch of the hard to find women in NASA sets on the shelf before the holidays. So that's really cool.
Go to Barnes and Noble; they have all that stuff, and they're clearing out their Lego Batman stuff for the movie.
Really?
Which I was like, no, I'm not gonna buy any of those. But
Toys R Us is probably kind of a shit
Fuck
show.
Fuck Toys R Us. I mean, no offense. But
well, I mean, Loki, they're kind of fucked already.
Well, they're kind of fucked because they never lower their prices on stuff, and everything's retail. Even like with the discounts, it becomes like higher than retail. So just forget it. But yeah, you can get the women in NASA. They have the new blind bag sets. Those are all at Barnes and Noble.
Bobby in chat also says, "I enjoyed putting together the set, the Tron set." So there's a positive.
Maybe
review.
I'm just spoiled when it comes.
You're just stubborn. All right. Let's see other comments in chat at live.vognetwork.com. Tiger Claw, since I brought up Ninja Turtles, of course Tiger Claw had to be like, wait, I got your Turtles nudes, dude. And Tiger Claw says, speaking of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the finalist for that Ninja Turtles Splatfest is set for May 18th, Team Raphael versus Team Donnie. So that's where it ended up. Or is it just Team Raph now? See, obviously, I haven't watched cartoons since the 90s. I disavow all the new stuff. It's the 90 cartoon forever for me. But obviously Team Donnie in that situation, or Donatello, excuse me.
I don't know. Some of that stuff grows, like, especially the new DuckTales cartoon. Not bad.
Okay. David Tennant's Uncle Scrooge in that, right?
I think so.
Yeah, so that's already some points right there. I don't have anything against new cartoons. I just, God, I barely have time to watch like the shows that I'm supposed to be watching, let alone, you know, add cartoons into that. So ugh. Anyway, let's see. Other comments in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Let's see. YYR says, Legos were 5% off when everything else was 10 to 20% off. I haven't looked. What are discounts at now? I don't know. I haven't bothered with the whole
thing. I almost went over there today, but I didn't. I'm like, I know there's nothing going to be there.
Do you know how many vultures participate in those sales? Like people that are going to wait for that type of steal to just flip it on eBay or something, or save them for a couple years, then put them on eBay? You know, things like that. Like, I don't feel like dealing with the professionals.
There's no one that's going to be. You can get better deals everywhere else. And I mean, honestly.
Well, we talked about this. When the news first came out that Toys R Us was going to go under, we talked about the fact that when it's really 10 to 20% off, like, keep an eye out to make sure you really are getting a good deal, because sometimes they jack up the prices, but usually it's going to go for the manufactured suggested retail price, which almost all chains are selling under that because they're all trying to outdo each other.
Not so much with Legos. I mean, like,
well, and I think that's why they're not discounted. In fact, the fact that they are Legos and they know that is the e-ticket item.
Like, you can go to like any Walmart or Target and get, you know, sets that are normally $60 MSRP for $48 or $40, or, you know, you do get a discount on that all the time, which is why I'm looking for stuff even lower than that, but never on the big sets, it seems like.
There's a couple chatter saying it's 30 to 50% now, so it's starting to get a
little
deeper.
Not on Legos. Definitely not on Legos.
Fair enough. All right. Well, we could talk about Legos all night long. Yeah, I think there'd probably be a lot of room in the universe for a Lego podcast. I'm sure there's got to be a Lego podcast out there.
Yeah, dozens.
Actually, YouTube channels will be where it's at for Legos. I don't know if that translates as well to a podcast. I'm sure someone's doing it and doing it well.
They have dozens of those, too, yeah.
Yeah, but the YouTube channels, I'm sure, are crazy. Anyway, let's talk about what's going on in video games. And really, starting off this week with our kickoff topic tonight, some really big news on a really big company we've been waiting for a really long time. So let's...
Is it big news, though? Is it?
Read the goddamn story, Logie.
I'm just saying. So Nintendo has finally unveiled what Nintendo Online's going to be.
So guess what? So first off, let's talk about the pricing. So pricing, 1 month, only $4, not bad.
Loki, I think your mic is cutting in and out. Sorry there. I don't know if that... Are we having mic problems again? I'm going to freaking scream. All right.
Does Toys R Us sell mics? Because we could probably buy some there.
Seriously. All right, well... With Miss Dark Sakura being out this week, I guess we will just have to borrow her setup here. And while I get that all ready to go, I will probably just have to pick up some new microphones this week. Her mics, I don't know if her mic's in much better condition, if it'll reach. Hold on, don't pull too hard on that. There. Whoa. Okay, try now, Loki.
Hello.
There we go, much
better.
You're
probably going to need to turn me, well... Down or up, I don't know.
I think you're fine for right now. I'll futz with the volume.
I'm going to turn this one off.
Yes,
and
please
shove
do.
This over here.
Oop.
And maybe not remember that it's wrapped around my laptop.
All right.
Thankfully not wrapped around the glass of water I have right here next to my laptop in ever so responsibly. Anyways.
Nintendo Online, where we left
Nintendo
the
Online.
Joy of live radio,
so,
folks.
Yes,
live
as
problems.
Broken as our microphone is... So Nintendo Online, they're going to offer 1 month for $3.99, 3 months for $7.99, or you can get a whopping 12 months for $20. While that doesn't seem like it's very much compared to, you know, the competition out there, let's see what you get for that kind of money. So, oh, and then I forgot to mention, if you also want to sign up for a family plan, which allows you to have 8 different profiles across a bunch of different Switches, that's only $34 or $35 a year, so that's not bad. So what do you get with that? So starting off, you get, of course, access to play games online. You get cloud backup saves or cloud backups for your saves. And then they have you get access to the Nintendo Online phone app. And then, of course, you know, the thing everybody's been waiting for. What about all those virtual console games? What are we doing with virtual console? Well, they have the NES Classic Game Service, which I guess is launching with that. They're going to offer games that you can play multiplayer across the internet, and they're going to have 20 titles and going to be adding more as it goes along. So the first few titles that they've got, they have soccer, tennis, Donkey Kong, Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers, Balloon Fight, Ice Climber, Dr. Mario, Legend of Zelda, and Super Mario Brothers 3. And then there's supposed to be more that will be announced later, and those are going to, I guess... be in lieu of other console games. And, of course, this is supposed to be coming out in September.
So, you're not too big on this, Loki. I mean, what a surprise, you and Nintendo not getting along. I don't know. I'm not as cold on this as you. I'm actually pleasantly surprised that instead of them just doing virtual console and charging $5 a pop, like we've kind of had. I mean, and they've also said virtual console... gone. This is there's yeah. no more virtual console. This is well, they haven't really said this is the replacement, but you could all read into that as that Nintendo Online is where they're going. And this would also explain why, you know, Neo Geo for some time, SNK has been doing those Arcade Archive partnerships. Sega's got their Sega Ages thing going on. So I would expect third parties, at least other consoles, you know, where the Wii played Genesis and other stuff, you can expect the other consoles that were not in Nintendo's family not going to be a part of this. Ever. Third-party games to be determined, I suppose. But anyway, my point is, instead of charging $5 a pop again for this stuff, it seems like, if I'm reading this right, and I guess there's still room for interpretation, but if I'm reading this right, they're moving to a Netflix model, which I think everybody's kind of been asking for, right? So why are you mad, though?
I'm mad because this is only a few games. They could be offering a lot more that's available. And, like, I would have purchased them right away. And I don't care if they're $5 each. Yeah, it's expensive, but I would have bought them so that I can have them on my system. Because this...
See, but here, even if they did the $5 each, it would have only been... It always was the drip-fed titles. Why wouldn't it still be the drip-fed titles? The reason why they're doing it this way is to keep you sucked into that Nintendo Online month after month because you'll have something to look forward to. At some point when the wells get dry,
we'll
they'll
see.
Say,
let's
Super
see what
Nintendo.
They offer because I think, you know, that they have 20 titles or whatever at launch.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how quickly they're putting titles in there because if it's going to be like, oh, we're adding like 4 a month or something like that, that's still not that great. I mean, I don't know. I just expected better. And on top of that, it's awfully nice of them to have no way to back up your saves, despite the fact that the system has goddamn USB ports on there. But if you pay us $20 a year, we'll allow you to back them up to the cloud. Then, gee, that's a little bit of pay gating for that stuff. That's ridiculous. All the other console systems out there allow you to back up your saves without having to subscribe to a service. What the fuck?
No. Microsoft's doesn't do that.
Bullshit. I can dump my saves to a memory card.
Oh, a memory card. Oh, I thought you meant the cloud.
No, I'm not talking about the cloud. Fine, they can gate that shit. I don't need that. But I'm talking about like actually being able to dump them to like a thumb drive or something like that.
Oh, I see. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Yeah, Bobby's saying it's PlayStation Plus only. You can't access cloud, but he said he's not talking about the cloud, so fine. But I do want to point out over chat, Rama says it's $20 a year. I failed to see the issue. JD says, I'm extremely looking forward to expanding my family on Nintendo for just $4 a person. And Bobby Blackwell says, this is literally exactly what everyone asked for in 2006 when the Virtual Console launched. Loki, I kind of tend to agree. Like, why is this, especially considering that they're going back and adding online play. So they are modifying these ROMs or you know, making sure that they're going to work in an emulator
and
like
I didn't
this.
Fucking ask them to do that.
I did.
Well, then fine.
I said back in the
day.
Then
that's fine. And they can have their ROMs with their multiplayer in this online service and then sell me this shit that's one player that I can play locally. That's all I want. They can do that now. You can't tell me that I can't fucking emulate NES games.
It
can fucking emulate NES games.
Okay. So let me. I have to admit, I'm a little surprised at this. So what if we're now looking 1 year from now? So let's say this thing launches in September. So we'll say September 2019. And we'll say they have put out 5 games a month from that time period. That would be 20 to start, 60 additional games, 80 games in the library now at that point. Are you still going to say Bah Humbug?
Yes, I am, because they're NES games. What if I want Super Nintendo games, Nintendo 64 games? What if I want DS games or whatever else they're going to offer on Virtual Console? There's a lot of other consoles. 80 games across all their platforms is not enough. When they had...
I don't have time to play the 2 games I bought in the last month. Where am I going to play 80 games?
Then if you don't have the time to do that, then it doesn't matter. Here's my thing. Is their offering is pitiful, but the price is pitiful too, so it doesn't matter. So you're paying for like almost nothing, and you're getting almost nothing. So that's fine if you're happy with it. I'm not happy with it. As a person that bought a Switch, I wanted to immediately be able to download those games. I would have easily dumped another $100 or $150 in, you know, Virtual Console games to get the same games that my son was playing back on through the system. But now that's not even an option. So... my other option, I guess, at this point, if I want to be able to play those things is, well, I guess I got to go to piracy because they're not offering them on their platform.
So because this is a show where every gamer has a voice, and I know some of you Nintendo fans are probably a little huffy at what Loki is saying right now, part of the reason I'm, you know, indulging this is because, he's not the only one saying this. I've got into the same kind of discussion on Twitter with somebody else, so I know he's not the only one saying it. And B... I will give you that is a decent perspective where your son was getting used to these games on the Wii U. So, you know, when, you know, backwards compatibility, let's say, on Microsoft's ecosystem is pretty rich, why can't, you know, we know that there's not much that goes into Virtual Console emulator. Why can't they just unleash the floodgates and what they put out on Wii U and even Wii, they just put out on Switch?
I'll tell you how it's going to go. Here's exactly how it's going to go.
Okay.
They have already an unpatchable exploit for the system. You're just going to get a fucking emulator and be able to dump whatever you want in there. And that'll satiate anybody that's looking to play a bunch of ROMs on their Switch. Because Nintendo isn't going to step up to the game. I think, yeah, it's nice that they added online multiplayer to some ROMs and stuff. But, dude, come on. Emulators on PC have had online play for decades. Like, what is the fucking problem?
To be fair, it's kind of jank. Like, in the early days especially, like, it was not, I don't know. I haven't dinked around with emulators in a long time. And maybe that's because companies are making it easier and easier to just, push A to support, you know, whatever, buy the thing. Like, I don't feel the need to go to emulators as strongly as I used to, that whole type of thing. So maybe, to be fair, I haven't been up and up on the online technologies in the emulator. But I remember when it was first out on, you know, what is it, SNES 9X all those years ago and that. It was kind of, it was there, but it wasn't that great.
Like, I get it that they're offering the service if you want to pay for this. Like, say, what if I didn't want to play multiplayer? You know, wouldn't it be nice to have an option to be able to purchase these ROMs to have them, you know, before their release on the service? Like, I mean, that with this argument basically saying, well, it's okay because these are all going to be on this online service like Netflix. So you're saying I just never need the... Why even sell movies at the store anymore? Because we have Netflix, you know? What's the point? Why even buy any of that stuff? Because it's available on Netflix, or at least it'll eventually be on Netflix. Just don't buy movies anymore.
You know, YYR has a decent counterpoint. Seriously, though, before it was buying games outright. Now it's a monthly service. But hashtag, why not both? And ActF says, my co-host in my podcast, cheap plug for GFMcast.com, there you go, it's good times, are in the same boat as Loki, so it's a legit concern. Yeah, no, I mean, you can get mad at Loki all you want because he's, you know, not thrilled about this, but this is, there's a lot of gamers out there that are feeling the same thing going on. I can support the why not both methodology. Well, there's also a part of me that says, well, wait a minute, am I reading too much into this? That Nintendo does plan to have this 80 game catalog on Netflix style Nintendo thing by next September, or is this the 20 games that will be playable Netflix style now? And then as new games come in, old games go out. Oh, but if you want to keep that old game, $5.
I don't
possible.
Think
I mean, I know. I'm tinfoil hatting a little
bit.
I'm
just saying, why are they making this so difficult for me to give you money? I mean, what is the problem
just,
here?
Just real quick. The reason why I'm going tinfoil hat on that is because my mind is a little bit still hung up on when they first announced this whole thing a long, long time ago, and they said one free game a month or whatever
it
was.
Which is stupid. I was like, okay.
Well, so clearly plans have changed a little bit, but, you know, that's – anyway, so that's where my little tinfoil hat thing comes from.
I just – whatever. You know what? I'm sure I'll pay for the service just to play online. I'm not really looking forward to this stuff, though. I mean, it's disappointing. It's just constant disappointment with them. It's like we've been waiting for them to launch Virtual Console on this platform forever now, and now they're just like, well, fuck you guys. We're not doing it. We're just going to do this. This is what you guys want. Well, you know what? It's okay to have a service. Like, for example, PlayStation Now. PlayStation Now, I can pay for that service, and I have access to a library of different games I can play, many of which I can also purchase on the PlayStation Store.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we do that?
So you want both? Like,
why not?
I said.
What's the harm in doing that?
No, I honestly think is the happy middle ground where we can all agree, whether, you know, people agree with you or not, that maybe both would be even better. Because you're with the PlayStation Now, there's a fair point in there, is that how many of us are actually subscribed to PlayStation Now right now or Microsoft service? I know I'm not. I don't think you are. I doubt Dark Soccer is, because I don't think she's mentioned it before. Is she on EA's thing? Can't remember, but maybe that, well, if she was, she probably isn't anymore. She may have got it for the Mass Effect thing and then dropped it, but I'll have to ask her and let her speak for herself. But anyway, so maybe people do want to kind of buy this so that they quote unquote own it. But then at the same time, there's a lot of like digital stuff I'm buying on like PlayStation 3. And it's like, well, I used to buy on PlayStation 3, and it's like, well, as my PlayStation's over there collecting dust, there's really no way for me to play it anymore because PlayStation 4 won't really support any of it.
Well, that's dumb too, but, you know.
Yeah.
That's a whole
which I would
argument.
Be way more excited about PlayStation Now if it would just give me access to
the stuff you bought,
the stuff I bought before. Yeah. And it, yes, it should give it to me, that to me for free, or at least for being a PlayStation Plus subscriber. If they want to gate that behind PlayStation Plus because bandwidth for stream, then fine, fine. Bandwidth for streaming isn't free. Fine, do that. Anyway, I didn't mean to make the Nintendo thing a PlayStation thing, but I guess there are some similarities for what it's worth. I'm still, maybe that's how they got rid of some of the lag for multiplayer. Maybe something about that you're like streaming the games. I guess that would probably be more lag. Maybe like you and the person you're playing with are streaming the games from a central computer, but I guess that would be more lag, not
like
less.
Like the emulators? Like you're talking about like NES ROMs?
Yeah.
Dude, those are like a few K. Like that would transfer instantaneously.
Okay.
I mean, you could download the whole ROM in a fraction of a second. I don't think I don't think any lag is going to be coming from downloading that
ROM.
Fair enough.
I guess I'm overthinking it. Let's see. Going to chat for more comments over at live.vognetwork.com. Bobby Blackwolf does point out, remember early on they said it was Super Nintendo games with online play. When Switch was announced, they said it would be Super Nintendo games with online play. So your concern about there not being any Super Nintendo games right now may be short-lived. You know, and I think this is exactly what Nintendo's doing. They did this when they first rolled out Virtual Console on the Wii. They did this when they rolled out on the Wii U, and they're doing it now. Is that it's
okay? So I guess I'll look forward to Super Nintendo games in 2020 or some bullshit. Whenever
I don't think it'll be that long. I really don't think it'll be that long.
Okay, well we'll see when a year from now what's actually out. I don't trust them to be on time with any of this stuff.
I think September is going to be the Nintendo thing, and that's going to be their push through the holiday. And then probably next year, either summer or, you know, whenever they kind of want to wake people up, they'll put out Super Nintendo as the next wave. But what's not going to happen is something now in this little, you know, like where do things fit in now is Mother 3. Because I know that's not Super Nintendo. That was Game Boy Advance, right? So, but there's another system. There's no reason this maybe wouldn't grow into that at some point. Game Boy Advance, you know, especially with the Switch being portable as well, it's possible. But if they release Mother 3, wouldn't they be able to just charge $10 for that as a standalone game? Why would Mother 3 be on a service like this?
It's never going to be on the platform, period. So, I mean, it's a non-issue, but it's...
That's true. Keep on dreaming, right?
It's never going to happen.
We've been saying Mother 3 for 10
years. Like, Nintendo doesn't know that the consumer wants that. They fucking know. They don't care. So, it's never going to be on the platform anyways. But to that point, you know, like, oh, NES is going to launch now, and then later on it'll be Super Nintendo. Then, fuck. Then, if I'm going to get Mario 64... Then I'm just going to have to wait. I mean, what's the point? Why do I even want to mess with their stupid service at this point? It's dumb. At this point, it should be not... Why is it taking so long to put multiplayer in a fucking NES game? Like, this boggles my fucking brain that they can't figure out how to program... Dude, there's like so many emulators out there that do this shit better. Like, I've seen Wii U emulators that are... Oh, goddamn sophisticated. I can purchase, or Wii emulators, they can purchase games for the fucking online store. I mean, why is it that they can't take an old-ass game that can run on anything and add multiplayer to it? People have figured out how to do this shit. It's not a priority for them. And honestly, if this is what's stopping this stuff coming out, is adding these extra features, that's cool. Sell that as something separate. You know, call them into, you know, Nintendo Enhanced titles or something like that.
Or the NES Classic or the SNES Classic, because that's where my mind's going, is that maybe part of this is conflict of interest with those things. They don't want to put out all the same games that are already available on those devices because they want to sell those devices. And maybe that is Nintendo's MO for how you're going to buy games that you want to keep. You get to, because, and Loki, get mad at the people for buying those things like fucking crazy because it showed that that works. So,
okay.
And this is something I'm just kind of like processing out loud and thinking out loud because I didn't even like think of it until you said, like, why are they doing this? And I'm like, well, maybe they still want to push those NES classics. And I'm thinking of that tweet, that late breaking news we just saw before we went live tonight, that the NES classic reproduction hit shelves June 29th. And they said that and the SNES are going to be available throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah, but here's the problem.
So that's what they don't want
to
compete.
That argument doesn't make any sense to me because that doesn't mean I wouldn't buy that system anyways. you're saying that you can't sell me virtual console games because that'll stop me from buying an SNES Classic or something like that. That's not even going to... I've already purchased these games on the Wii U. I should actually not have to pay for these again anyway, since I've already bought them the first time. I bought them several times on the Wii and the Wii U. So, I mean, I would purchase them again on the Switch, and I'd probably still purchase one of those classic systems. That it doesn't make any sense. All this is basically saying to me, the bottom line, this is to make an end to this argument.
Just remember, we got people in chat saying, Loki is salty as fuck tonight. That's from Brad from Pop Culture.
I'm just going to have to fucking go to piracy because they're making it too fucking hard to give them money. So fuck them. I'm not giving them money. I'm just going to pirate the shit out of it.
I have to disagree strongly with that. I don't think that's the way to go. But it is what it is.
Okay. Show me a way to purchase the Nintendo 64 game on the Switch. I can't. I can't this year. I probably can't next year and probably the year after that.
Do you want me to give you the answer Don Matrick would have gave you? Go buy a Wii U. That's the answer, Don Matrick.
Go buy a Wii U?
Go buy a Wii U.
Or no, because you're not supporting that system anymore. Why are you physically unable to, you know, put a system that can be emulated on a Raspberry Pi? You know, that's the thing. Is like the Raspberry Pi is going to outsell those stupid NES classics.
So Bobby in chat says, Loki, you're already at piracy. You already pirated it all. Yet, you know, so people who might be, you know, like a little ragey that you would say you're going to go to piracy with all that, but you kind of like, to be fair, you haven't before. Like, you do support this stuff when it's available. You did it on Wii U.
I did. I purchased tons of virtual console games.
Okay, so piracy is not always the answer for you, and I think that's an important point to make very clear. Let's see. I was going to read this other stuff in chat before we got on that tangent. At live.vognetwork.com. Where were we? Oh, YYR says they've added multiplayer and are making a big deal about it, but several games in the initial batch, such as Donkey Kong and Super Mario Brothers, are not two-player simultaneous. And Bobby Blackwolf points out, hence controller sharing, I mean, Zelda's in the list, help me get through this boss. Yeah, it's... I mean, that would be kind of fun that you can kind of pass the controller. You can kind of do that on PlayStation 4 right now. And that's something that you can only do with PlayStation Plus. I think you can watch for free, but to actually take the controller requires PlayStation Plus. And I've done that before. That's been a way. I think that's how I played Monster Hunter, was I was like, well, I don't really want to. I want to see if I like this first. So a friend of mine fired it up, and I was able to take over his game for a little bit, see how I liked it. So, but I mean.
I don't know.
Games from 1987 and so forth aren't maybe the same try before you buy a thing, but I still think that's I think when it comes to streaming, like, I'm just thinking about, like, I've been on a little break from streaming for a little bit because I've had other projects going on, but when I do come back to streaming, and I will, you know, I've been doing a lot of streamings with, like, my buddy Delvin, and I'm like, oh my god, there's, like, so much potential here to do, like, co-streaming in a game like Super Mario Brothers 3. That was like the game to play. You know, I remember going over to a friend's house and having to sleep over, and we would stay up until like 4 a.m. playing Super Mario Brothers 3 and passing the controller or you know, and doing the fighting on the square and like all that stuff, trying to beat the hard levels. You know, and now it's like, oh, cool, I can do that streaming, but like across a great distance. Like I'm like so jazzed about that.
Yeah, hopefully Nintendo doesn't pull a YouTube and decide that they're going to copyright strike everybody that's not part of their partners program.
That's a whole nother problem, I guess. But so far they haven't, at least with Justin TV. Good lord, I went really old school for a minute there. Twitch TV, they haven't so far, and maybe it's something about the live versus recorded. I'm not sure they can in the same way because it's live versus recorded. That does change a lot. Look at Twitch's policy on the music streaming. When you play music during a stream, if it's copyright music, you can play it live, but it'll be muted on your broadcast after the fact because it's the whole live versus recorded. So I'm not sure that Nintendo could do anything about live.
I guess I should try to be hopeful, but I'm just not expecting much from Nintendo. So yeah. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. All right. A lot to digest there. So we're going to hear more at E3, right? We're going to hear the other 10, the back 10 at E3.
All right. I mean, but like, okay, let's like, sorry.
No,
sorry,
it's fine.
To get back in the argument.
I know. It's
again,
a big topic. It's a big
topic.
You know,
So then why even put out NES Classic games if we're going to have the NES Classic Edition coming back out in June 29th? I mean, wouldn't that drive away sales from the NES Classic Edition if I can just pay $20 and get access to all these different games? I mean, that's the argument you guys were making earlier. Well, this is the way I'm going to get to that stuff. So wouldn't that, you know, be detrimental to their service?
Perhaps there's another factor at play, and that is that, you know, Nintendo fans will probably collect a lot of it. But I am kind of sitting here going, do I really need an NES Classic, especially with this coming out soon? One thing to consider, though, is that this won't be around forever. And we're going to have another example of that later on in the stories, how, you know, games can kind of come and go like that. So this won't necessarily be around forever. But the other the NES Classic is something that will. You know, it is a piece of hardware that'll be around forever, but will it play on televisions that they make in 50 years? Probably not. There'll probably be a new standard besides HDMI then at that point. So you have to get a old-ass converter or something. I don't know. But anyway, let's see. Going in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Bobby Blackwolf says, there are people who want an NES Classic but don't want a Switch. My stepmom-in-law would never get a Switch, but she loves the NES and SNES classics. So maybe it's a very particular audience that wants to do the retro stuff they remember as a kid, but they don't really play stuff now. There is definitely an audience for that. But I kind of think the response to these systems has been much larger than that. The people buying the Atari flashbacks, the Intellivisions, those things, maybe a little more what I mentioned a minute ago. And, you know, your few collectors here and there too. But NES Classics, SNES Classics, been much bigger than that.
I just think they're leaving money on the table. They could easily just sell it and...
And at the end of the day, this is where your frustration comes from the most, right? You view this as Nintendo leaving money on the table.
Yeah, because, like, just sell your damn shit. Why do I have to jump through all these hoops? Like, seriously, like, to get an SNES Classic, I can't find them in stores. I'm not going to pay a scalper for this shit. Like... Why are you making it so hard for me to give you money for this stuff that I want? And why does it have to be... I don't want my virtual console games, if you will, to be on a hardware system that's attached to my TV. Why can't I put them on the Switch to take it with me if I want to? Why are you making this so fucking hard is the problem.
But as far as, like, SNES Classics aren't hard to find now, and soon NES Classics, that'll be resolved
too. I hope those NES Classics, since we're talking about this, don't require an online connection to play them, because that's going to be a fucking annoying piece of shit if I have to be always connected.
Why would they?
Because it's an online service, because it's streaming.
Oh, you mean the Switch thing? You're switching topics on me. I'm talking about the NES Classic hardware thing.
No, I'm talking about the Switch now. So okay. I hope that's not going to be a situation. Hopefully they're smart enough to avoid that.
Because the Switch's, like, biggest thing is the whole, like, click, pick it up and go, I don't see Nintendo making a move like that. I mean, for multiplayer, I mean, duh, yes, you're going to have to be online for any of that. Maybe if there's leaderboards and stuff, maybe there'll be some type of online connection for integrity. But as far as, like, being able to pick it up and take it on the go, especially when you look at other markets like Japan, where picking it up and taking it on the go on your commute or something is actually kind of a big deal, I don't see them chaining it to online in the sense that, like, playing Diablo on PC is chained online.
All right. Well, I hope that's the case.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, let's move on. I know there's, we could probably fill 3 hours just talking about this, but there's actually been quite a bit of other gaming news this week, and we will get into that, but I want to get into how was your gaming week and what types of video games have you been playing this week. So, Loki, how was your gaming week?
It was all right. I played more Mario Odyssey, so I'm quite a ways through that. And then I actually did try out a little bit of...
I'm sorry, I can't help but laugh. That and maybe some of the Nintendo fans can kind of have a giggle at this, too, is that after you just read the book at Nintendo, how was your gaming week? I played Mario Odyssey. I love it. It's not a read.
Is anybody listening to my actual argument? Like, I don't understand why this is confusing to anybody. My question, like, my whole argument is that I can't give Nintendo money. What is so confusing
right.
about this?
Right, we'll leave it at that.
Like, I don't understand why people are so right. confused or think it's funny. I'm saying I want to pay them more for more of their services, but they're not selling those services, so I can't purchase
them. I'll let you have the final word at that. All there right. it is.
Anyways, so I did try a little bit of Minecraft on the Switch, and, well, it's Minecraft on the Switch. I was surprised with their, like, it doesn't seem like it's as updated as the other stuff, but I know that they have more updates coming, so I'll just wait for them to catch up on that, but it was still fun. And then, what else? Pokemon Go a little bit. I've been playing that, and a little bit of Stepmania, actually. And, of course, Dance Dance Revolution Extreme. Stepmania more so. I'm actually looking at more of converting my cabinet over to a Stepmania cabinet now. So I did purchase a new J-Pack because I had to replace the one in my candy cab to have that working because I guess it died. It just doesn't display anything anymore, but I know the display works. It's just not working with the J-Pack. So I bought two to replace that one, or one to replace the one that's in there and one for the Dance Dance Revolution machine. And then eventually, whenever I finally decide to do that, then I'll buy the light board for the Dance Dance Revolution machine. I think they call it like a mini maid or something like that. It's basically to hook up the lighting to Stepmania. So I'll eventually get to that. I've been trying to find a small computer to go in there. I'm looking for maybe like either like a Nook, or like some micro ITX system or something to build in there because I wanted it to be really small. Ideally, if I could swing it, I want to actually have it where it's both the arcade cabinet and the Stepmania machine at one time so I can flip between the two. So I'm going to see if there's a way to rig that. I think with my setup, because I actually do have, it's an LCD monitor in there, so it runs through a converter anyways, so which makes it nice because then I don't have to worry about an arcade VGA card or anything like that. It's all HD, so I can do all that. But if I have a way I can switch between the two, that would be nice because I don't want to like completely modify everything if I want to sell it down the road or you know want to downgrade to a different mix or something like that. I want it to be flexible in that sense, so we'll see. That's it.
That's it. My gaming week, actually, not a lot for me to talk about. I've been working on some other projects that have nothing to do with video games or podcasts, so I've been really busy, so I haven't had a lot of time to game, but I still have been doing progress on Diablo 3, and I was playing that with Grandpa from, I would say Grandpa from Horde House, but he's also Captain Matt on Starboard Power Coupling. I've been playing a little bit with him online because I finally convinced him. I was like, you should roll a Seasons character, and he did. And I guess he found some really high-level players to, like, really carry him. So now he's kind of carrying me a little bit because his Paragon level's, like, through the roof for the season. So he's been helping me out. I'm up to Paragon 310, I think, as the last check now for the season. So, you know, still working through that. And, honestly, besides Diablo, I played a little bit on Switch this week, just, you know, because it's the nice little console I can kind of pick up and take into bed with me. that's really it. I don't know if I ever talked about this game at length on the show, but I got this reimagining, if you will, of Lode Runner. That's the L-O-D-E runner, you know, the classic yeah. game. They have, like, a new Lode Runner on Nintendo Switch. And the cool thing about it is that it has, like, user-made levels that you can do and put online. And you can also redo the sprites in the game. And so, like, people have put up these sprites where you can kind of turn the main little hero character into, like, Samus and things like that. So it's some neat little things. I don't think it's quite as – I mean, like, if you've not seen this, you dial back your expectations a little bit because you are kind of confined – you know, to what all you can do in these levels and things. It's not like Mario Maker by any means. I mean, Lode Runner back in the day was a very, very simple game. But it is still kind of cool that you can, you know, kind of have this functionality in a Switch game right now on a, you know, what I think was $10, $15 download title. Yeah. So, and I think it's also cool that they have some of the retro levels in there too. So they can do like some kind of like sprite switch ups and they let you do some of the retro levels. So that's pretty fun too. So they throw in like some online leaderboards and some other stuff. So if you remember that game from, you know, way back in the day fondly like I do, then that's something that might be worth a little bit of your time. It's that new Lode Runner reimagining. I can't remember the full name of it. Lode Runner Reloaded or something like that. I don't know what it is, but it's the Lode Runner, but it's on the Nintendo Switch. And that's one of those things where I can play that game for like 30 seconds, you know, it's a little like bite-sized game, maybe not 30 seconds, but like 5 minutes, you know, get through one level and then yay, I did something. I feel accomplished. So, outside of that, Pokemon Go, tiny bit of Ingress, but not a lot. Like really when I've been gaming on the phone, it's been a lot more Pokemon Go. I'm really close to level 37. I've been trying to get those new shinies and not having a lot of luck, and it's really pissing me off because, like, everybody else I know has those new shinies. It's like,
what,
like,
new shinies?
Makuhita, the little guy that looks like King Hippo, that guy.
Oh,
and
were there shinies of those?
There are now. They started it with the fighting event because they've
caught so many of those. I haven't recycled any. That
there's been a fighting event going on.
Right. Yeah, I know that.
No, the system will stop you. The system will warn you if you're going to recycle a shiny, just like if you try to do a favorite or something like that, or a legendary. So you can't accidentally throw one of those away. And then it's that and the little monkey fighting guy is also a shiny right now.
The Mankey?
No, not Mankey. The other one from Gen 3. Meditite? Something like that?
I think I know which one you're talking about.
Thank you. ActDev says Meditite is the one that has it. So, yeah, but sadly I can't find those shinies. It's extraordinarily frustrating. And I still can't catch a Latias either, which they just flipped Latios for Latias. And I did a triple raid the other day. We did three back-to-back. Couldn't catch one of them. Ugh, that was frustrating. And then just because I've been busy with other stuff, I haven't been doing Pokemon raid as much. I have a freaking EX pass for tomorrow at like 12 o'clock. But it's like, I have this thing called work, and I got to kind of do that. I know that's lunchtime, but like, I got to get all the way to the park and back. It's like, I don't know about that. So that was weird that they started doing EX raids on Monday. But anyway, I guess maybe they thought they wanted to mix it up a little bit because some people work on Saturday and Sunday. So maybe they're thinking to mix it up a little bit. But I don't know. I find it a little bit irritating. So, all right. Let's get into some gaming news. As far as housekeeping goes, I don't have a lot for you guys because we should be here live pretty much every week, pretty consistently. We should be here Memorial Day weekend. I don't see us taking that weekend off. I'll check with the co-host, make sure nothing's going on. But the next show we would have off would be June 24th. I'll be out of town on June 24th. So, otherwise, follow us on Twitter for all latest updates, twitter.com/OLR. Let's get into gaming news, Loki.
So Microsoft has offered you can actually gift games to other people. So it's like the first modern console to actually offer that. Of course, you know, that's been something that's been available on Steam for the longest time. But now you can actually do that on the Xbox One as well. So that's kind of cool. And there are a few restrictions. They said gifting full price games is unlimited. And only two discounted games can be gifted within a 14-day period and up to 10 overall. So the games also have to be redeemed in the country that they were purchased in. But that's kind of cool that they offer that. My worry, though, with Microsoft at least, is, you know, you remember people were hacking, and I guess that's more EA, though, but people were hacking Microsoft accounts and stuff to basically buy those card packs and stuff like that. So what's to stop somebody from, like, you know, hacking your account to buy some games for themselves and gift them?
Well, but that it would be very obvious whose account they went to, and that would be a whole very easily traceable, I think, Loki.
I guess, but...
And you could make that same argument about, like, Steam today, and I don't think that's happening a lot, at least nobody
that'd
I
be,
know.
That'd be my only concern, but other than that, I mean, yeah, that's cool. I wish all of them offered that kind of service, but...
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I'm reading your comments a lot tonight, Bobby. I think he's catching up on being gone for a few weeks. Bobby says, I've gifted Xbox One games. I bought the digital code from Amazon and sent it.
I suppose that's an option.
That
yes.
is absolutely. You can do. Guess what? That trick also works on like PlayStation 4 cards and like Nintendo. You know, with Amazon, you can actually just ship a physical game to somebody else's house and say it's a gift. And you did it all digitally.
It's not instantaneous.
And other I should say, not just Amazon, but other companies too, because not everything has to be Amazon.
Can you do that, like, was it like the Amazon, was it Amazon Now is what they call that? You know, where you, like...
Oh, yeah, where they come to your house in, like,
yeah,
2 hours?
Yeah, can you, like, ship that to somebody and then you instantly...
I don't know if you can do it to somebody else. I haven't tried. I have used that service for myself, and I know you can get video games, like, day of release and stuff. You can get video games through that, I've never tried to send it to somebody else, but I've used regular Amazon to send regular stuff to somebody else. I sent like when we had at my old company, we had boss's day, but my boss was in the Los Angeles area at the time. So we sent something to the admin assistant in the LA office. through Amazon and put the note "Happy Boss's Day" to our boss at the time. You can do that, and it's really easy when you use one of those gift registries. Because shout out to Mel B, a friend of the show, and his wife also Mel, because they had a baby, and I don't remember if we called that out last week or the week before, but
no.
I'll shout it out every week because I love those guys, love that kid, so. Props to them, but they did a gift registry thing, and I was able to ship my gift. Just click that, buy, goes right to their house.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, let's see. Chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Bobby Blackwolf says my Reading registry was on Amazon. People send us stuff from it a lot. Let's see. Sia Tabiri says my uncle gave me the Sam and Max games for PC the same way. Mm-hmm. There's that too. So, all right. Anyway, so game gifting, that's the thing you can do on Xbox One. So now can I put my wish list up on, like, my why do I keep going to Justin TV? Like, my brain is stuck in 2007 tonight. I could put my wish list up on Twitch TV, and you could just go buy me games to stream right there. That'd be pretty cool. I'd be into that. All right, anyway. I guess that's what people already do anyway through, like, Amazon. But I was thinking it would be even more direct with an Xbox One list. All right. Well, anyhow, looks like there could be a spoiler alert for types of video games that you might digitally buy someone on the Xbox One this coming year. Walmart Canada unleashed a whole lot onto their websites for unannounced games for their pre-order listings. Some of these games are things that we kind of knew were coming, such as Dragon Quest II, which I think is Builders 2. Why would it be the original Dragon? Why would that be Dragon Quest Builders 2? Unless there's something I don't know. Let's see. What else in here do we already know about? A new Assassin's Creed game. We knew that was happening, right?
What? I thought they were taking a year off, though.
Well, most things in this list are things that, like, of course they're going to happen at some
point. Maybe they weren't. Maybe that was another year, though.
Just Cause 4. Forza Horizons 5 is on this list, but that's also a little weird because wouldn't the next game be Forza Horizon 4? So, that was on the list. Lego DC Villains. Now, that's a pretty specific call-out on that list. Borderlands 3, which tons of people have been speculating for this year anyway.
Yeah,
it's about time.
I want
Rage 2, which Bethesda's been...
Did anybody ask for... Well, that, I think, is going to be announced very soon.
Bethesda's been having a little fun with this leak because they went to Twitter... And, like, started, like, putting pink graffiti all over this and started, like, doing, like, a little, like, hey, Walmart Canada, you missed some things and all this stuff. But, like, the fact that that official Twitter account then proceeded to clear all the other tweets off the timeline except for that is a little bit like, are you resetting?
There's another countdown tweet or something that they have, too. So that's going to be announced in, like, a few days, I think.
Yeah. So, anyway, this was all there. So some folks thinking, why would Forza Horizon be happening so soon? Because supposedly the Forza Horizon studio is said to be working on Fable 4. No reason they didn't send it off to yet another studio. They didn't pass off Horizons to somebody else to just make a new game in 3's engine, you know? And I'm a sucker for that series. I'll probably buy it. Doesn't really matter who makes it. Is it going to have the kick-ass soundtrack? Is it the same, like, awesome graphics and arcade gameplay and all that? I'll probably buy it. It's going to be very hard to mess that up.
I'll get it on PC.
Yeah. And Bobby Blackwolf points out studios do work on multiple games at a time. That is true. Studios are capable of working on more than one game at a time. It does happen. Dragon Quest II, again, also called out as weird. It could be Heroes 2. I forgot about that. It could be Heroes 2, Builders 2, which I was already confirmed in a Nintendo Switch thing, right? Because they put out Builders 1 on Switch, and they confirmed Builders 2 is coming to Switch, right?
I don't remember.
I feel like that's a thing they did. And then it could be Dragon Quest 11, but yeah. Anyway. So there you go. Some lists. From Walmart Canada. There were also some games that we knew about. Metroid Prime 4, Beyond Good and Evil 2, Final Fantasy 7 Remake, which maybe indicates it is this year. Who knows?
Yeah.
So what do you think? Something to this, or is this just crap where they're filling up their database to get those pre-orders because GameStop would let you pre-order a PlayStation 5 today if you want?
Well, no. I don't think that they're just filling up their database with, like, bogus information. I think that they probably have, maybe they're doing planning for fourth quarter stuff, and so they they were adding stuff that they probably weren't supposed to be adding stuff to the database or weren't supposed to be making it public. So probably some of it's legit, but it's...
You have limited insight from your past experience in the distribution world. Now, granted, I know you never did Walmart, but would you guys get titles? You did because that's when the whole Katamari shit happened.
Yes, we know when stuff's coming out.
Okay.
Well before it comes out.
Okay.
Usually, like, they could have, it could be...
Which, for those that are newer to the show, one of the points when this show was on all the blogs is when we had a little insider information that there was a game called Beautiful Katamari coming out on the 360, and it hadn't been reported anywhere else yet. So,
yeah.
And it caused some headaches. That's all. It caused some
headaches. That's in the past.
It is in the past.
I'm free to talk about whatever now because I don't know shit.
Yeah, you can talk about shit. You can talk about whatever you want now.
But no, so they had, there could be like, you know, different planning things. I'm trying to think, like, I know they do, like, there's a couple different events that go on throughout, like, the early part of the year before E3 usually. There's, what's the PlayStation one? There's the PlayStation one, Destination PlayStation, and then there's a Microsoft event that they hold as well. And that's more of a retail partner event that they do to kind of plan strategies, work out deals for, like, you know, different incentives and stuff like that. It's where you get your pre-order bonus stuff worked out and stuff. So it could be that some information that they got from one of those, they may have had like, okay, here's our roadmap for 2018 or whatever, and it had some titles on there. They may not have been given like the full details of when stuff's coming out, but it had a list, and so someone jumped the gun and put all that in their database so that they could, I don't know, do something. And unfortunately, usually they get called out on it and they have to pull it back and someone gets in trouble. So it's likely that that's what the case is. It's something like that where they, here's like the stuff that we have coming, and, you know, maybe they put it in the system. Typically, they won't just like put things that are complete rumor and speculation in there. Not to say it's impossible, though.
I'm looking at some of the funny tweets that happened as a response to this. Somebody had tweeted one of the guys that's on the team that makes Doom with Pete, where's the next Doom? And he responded, go buy a Magic 8-Ball at Walmart and ask it. So I think some people in the industry had their feathers a little ruffled with this information. Let me ask this question. I'm going to do a little 180 on this story a little bit, but I want to open this up to chat as well. I want your thoughts on this, and not just Bobby. I want all your thoughts. We love Bobby, but I've been reading him a lot tonight. All you guys, I want to know your thoughts on this. Do we still need to have these types of secrets in the industry? Why is the game industry so fucking secretive?
Because they don't want to spoil their announcements.
But what's the big deal? The movie industry, I mean, the game industry is not what it was all these years ago, you know, and so forth. And yes, I also understand it makes years upon years upon years to make a game. I get that. But, like, we know what Marvel Disney films are coming out for the next, like, 3 years. We know that already.
Right.
So what's the big fucking deal if we know, like, Square's trajectory? Square Enix, I'm pick on them for no good reason. What's the problem if we know their trajectory for the
next
3 years?
Well, we do for some of it. I mean, we know that some stuff's coming, but thankfully, unlike, you know, movies, they don't tend to delay movies a ton, whereas games just keep on rolling, keep on coming. Like, when the fuck is Crackdown coming down?
They move movies around all the time.
I understand
that, but... They move it around all the... That's an art in itself, is the art of the release date and predicting box office and all that, and how one movie moving will have a snowball effect on everything else.
I don't know. I think that they want to keep some stuff as a surprise, and, you know, that way they... You know, competition can have as little time as possible to react to things. I mean, I don't know. That, why did they do anything? I mean, honestly.
The YYR in chat says, if you announce a game too early, how are you going to build hype? It stalls and sputters. Well, but the movie industry is doing it. They do it with posters hung up at the movie theater. They do it with, you know, little stills, production stills that come out from the set. And, oh my gosh, somebody snapped a picture of what Captain Marvel looks like because she was seen on set and all this stuff. Like, that's kind of where that
happens.
Just interviews.
The thing
like
is, they don't want their, like, they're doing these announcements soon. They're doing these at E3, and they just don't want to have it spoiled already because it's supposed to be exciting. People get hyped up like, oh my God, I didn't know that was coming, you know?
But if the trailer's really like, let's say something like Rage 2, which maybe some people, if they're hearing that, are kind of going, okay, that makes sense, but maybe not something they would have predicted that Bethesda would have done. Like, I think we talked lightly about what could be a Bethesda's thing. And if it's Rage 2, the only bummer about, I'm going to tell you the real bummer about Rage 2, though, is that means it's probably that and not Elder Scrolls 6, which was kind of like what I was trying to get hyped for this year.
No, it's not. Rage 2 is not going to be their big game. Rage wasn't even a big game. Rage was like, oh, it's supposed to be such a revolutionary engine. And everyone was like, yeah, but the game's not very good. I don't know. I don't think that's going to be a big deal.
And Bobby Blackwell points out, again with a good comment, because needling Loki tonight, Ready Player One was delayed.
It was, but it was so worth it.
And that happens to some video games, too, right? Like, I think we've gotten to the point where, like, Nintendo delays a game, and we're like, all right, well, just make it good. Right? Zelda Breath of the Wild, case in point. That game got delayed so they could put it on the Switch as well, and anybody complaining about that now? Nope. Because that game is fucking fire, right? And, you know, if this new Smash Brothers gets delayed so they can get it right, you think people will probably complain there's, you know, for a little bit there's nothing out at Christmas, but at the same time, when that game comes out, all the complaining is going to stop.
Yeah, you better stop your complaining. You got this generous offering of virtual... I mean, sorry, not virtual console games.
I thought we were done.
We're next never story. Done. This is going to go on for months.
Next story, Loki.
Anyways, so let's switch topics here.
I agree with Dr. C. Oh, here we go again. Nope. Putting the brake on. I need a little light or something. Well, that doesn't really work for a podcast. Maybe I need a sound effect. I need something for when Loki starts that fucking... I need like a stop sound effect or something. Is there like a funny sound effect of somebody going like, stop, or something?
It's like me during the week with the kids. I just stop. I don't care about whatever Power Rangers thing you're showing me. It's like, I get it. Yes, there were different seasons. Yes, each Power Rangers was different. Yes, I get it. I've seen... Stop. I'm like, just trying to sit here. I have a headache because you kids just keep talking to me.
All right. Star Trek red alert sound. Okay, that's the best suggestion I see so far in chat. Like a little red...
I like that.
I like that.
That's
okay.
Hilarious.
Star Trek red alert sound. I'm going to see what I can do about that. All right. In the meantime, Loki is going to switch topics. And
we're
going to
talk about the PlayStation 4. So the PlayStation 4, you remember that they just did a release of the remastered version of Parappa the Rapper. And hackers gonna hack. And so hackers discovered that, hey, guess what? That Parappa the Rapper version that's on the PlayStation 4, yeah, it's actually just running the 2006 PSP version through a PSP emulator. And as a result, hackers have now jailbroken PlayStation 4s are seeing what other games they can run through that emulator. So they've actually run games like Loco Roco, Potapon, you know, some other game. It looks like, they're saying that maybe that they can do some homebrew products or projects with it, like I'm playing, there's a PSP HD or something like that. That's interesting. And so the one thing the emulator does do that's different than other things is it's possible to swap out original textures from the UMD version of the game with a higher resolution one. So that's why, despite the fact that the PSP version of Parappa the Rapper looked different on the PSP, it was the older graphics, the remastered version is more, well, it's higher resolution graphics. So that's interesting that they could do something like that and easily...
Did they only look at Parappa, or did they look at, like, Patapon? Because that was also on PSP, and they also brought that to PlayStation 4. So I'm sure it's the same party trick being used.
No, they only looked at Parappa the Rapper. They did get Patapon to run on that emulator. So, it's interesting, but, yeah, and they even have a screenshot that's showing, you know, Patapon on there.
So
Which begs the question once again. It's like, okay, you have this emulator that's capable of running these PSP games. Why can't I purchase these games? Oh, I'm sorry, you can't because you have PlayStation Now. Yes. Awesome. It's not going to get me to stop, though.
I'm going to let him continue on this because it's Sony for a change. So go ahead. Go ahead.
No, that's all I had. I mean, it's just frustrating.
And actually, and to be fair, I actually kind of agree. Like, you know, you can give Nintendo all that shit. But hold up, because here is Sony, like, showing, look, we can do PSP on the PlayStation 4. But we're only going to do it in these particular circumstances. Like, to be fair, they need to get... But we've been giving this shit for forever for this. We know damn well the PlayStation 4 can run PS1 and PS2 games. They just don't want to let you do...
Of course they can. A PSP can run PlayStation 1 games. They could probably take a PlayStation 1 game, emulate it through the PSP emulator, and then run it through the PlayStation 4. Or let's emulate the PSP, which is emulating the PlayStation 1. Up-res all the graphics.
All right. Let's move on and continue a discussion on Sony, talking about what they have in plans for store for E3 this year. It sounds like E3 for Sony might be a little bit different this year. How would you feel about a different tone for one of the big three press conferences this year?
Is their tone going to be backwards compatibility? Because what's the tone going to be? What's the tonal shift going to be in here? More games that they're gonna announce that I don't know when they're coming out. I mean, they've had so many games they've announced.
All right, shut up.
Don't have.
I'll tell you more about what it is. All right, so you guys are gonna be so mad you gave me that sound effect. All right, so this was in the PlayStation blogcast, and what happened is that Sony is taking kind of a different angle on how we're bringing it out and trying to refresh and remake and reignite what used to be called a press conference for E3. So in this PlayStation blogcast, Sean Layden, of course, the CEO of Sony Interactive Entertainment America, said that there will be deep dives into Death Stranding, Ghost of Tsushima, Marvel's Spider-Man, and The Last of Us Part 2. There will be no hardware announcement at E3 this year. So those of you hoping for the PlayStation 5 this early, I think we're...
No.
No, it was never going to happen this early. Those of you that were hoping for the Vita 2, no.
Vita what?
Yeah, exactly. So how would you feel about maybe instead of like announcement, which was kind of like Sony's biggest year, maybe Sony's going to do a little bit more of a deep dive and spend more time with certain games, which... It sounds to me, if they're going to do a deep dive with Death... I don't know why I keep using that term, but that's what comes to mind. If they're going to go further with Death Stranding, that tells me it's going to finally be some fucking playable footage. So we know, what the fuck is this game, right? Because that's the thing I've been reading this game for is that, okay, look, I get it. A-plus cast, A-plus talent. Wow, it looks like a mind fuck. Cool. Okay, yes. Oh, pregnant man. This is crazy. What the fuck? You know, okay, where's the fucking game? Right, the same thing I have with No Man's
like,
Sky.
I'd be fine with...
So it sounds like we'll get to see the fucking game this
E3. Some of these games, some of them I just don't really care to see a deep dive in, like Spider-Man. I mean, we've seen enough deep dives in that already.
Must be DLC or something happening for...
Well, Spider-Man's not out yet.
Oh, that's right,
So that's coming out in September.
That's one of the big games.
But still, though, like, I've seen so much gameplay footage of it. It's like, I get it. It's a cool-looking game. But, yeah. Do we really need this? I mean, I guess they do, because it's a first-party title, so why not? But...
Last of Us Part 2, though, if that game is out this year, if that's Sony's big holiday release for this year, totally makes sense. We're like, that's going to be their number one breadwinner at E3 this year. It's going to be Last of Us Part 2, for sure. Because I'm sure a ton
Death
of people...
Death Stranding would be amazing.
They're kind of both there, but like Death Stranding, you know, again, this is not going to be Death Stranding's first show at the rodeo. I also understand it's not the first time for Last of Us Part 2, but I feel like one of them's been
teased. Or the other zombie
the other.
Game that they had that... Who knows what
was that
called.
The Ghost of Tsushima? I don't remember.
No,
which
that
one
wasn't
that was.
Ghost of Tsushima. That was it Days Gone?
Oh, yeah. That's the one they showed like twice last year, right? They were like, here it is. And then they were like, here's the beginning. We're going to show more of Days Gone. It was like, okay, clearly something was deleted here.
Red Dead 2.
Yeah, Red Dead 2 was deleted from this part of the presentation. Anyway, also, they do say that Sony is going to focus on third-party publishers and indie studios. It will be June 11th at 6 o'clock, of course, and everywhere where you watch these things like YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, blah, 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 blah. Probably not Mixer. It's probably the one place you won't be able to see this is Mixer. And I'm not shading Mixer. It's just that Mixer is Microsoft's thing. So
I would hope that they're doing something with VR. I mean, I
think it would be great if you could watch the Sony thing in VR.
That would be cool.
Since we got to go that one year we got to go see the press thing live, at least for me, I got to see it that one year live. And I don't even remember. What was the big thing? Bobby, what was the thing they announced that year? We went to the PlayStation thing. It was not the big year. It was not that year where everybody's like scream crying at Last of Us and Final Fantasy VII Remake and Shenmue 3 and like all that shit. Like, it was not that year, but it was like the year before or the year after. It was the year that they had Entwined was the very first thing they announced, because that was like the game that was like, I just remember being there for that. Anyway, somebody can look at that. Just tell me what year Entwined came out. That was the year we were there. The reason why I say that is that what you don't really get sitting at home watching it, at least when it was in that venue. Now, they've moved venues since then. That was when it was at the old Olympic Coliseum was this event. And so it was like all around you. Is that there was like, you know, you had the trailer on the big screen, but like if you look to the left, you'd see like stills. You look to the right, you'd see more stills. There'd be lasers, lights, kind of like all around for like the ambience. And I think that would actually translate very well into VR. Like if Sony wanted to do like a VR presentation, like, but can they stream VR video? Yeah. That would be okay. That would be pretty cool if they pull that off. So, all right. Bobby says Far Cry 4 first gameplay, No Man's Sky's debut, and Destiny launching on PlayStation 4 first. That was all 2014. And that sound, I think that was the last year we did I did E3. It was 2014. So, but I'm bummed. There it is. So I think a VR experience would be very cool. Yes, an Uncharted 4 closed out the show. Yes, I remember that now. I remember.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase truck.
All right. Just another story for you, and then we're going to get to the classic game of the week. But Loki is going to start this off.
So this isn't uncommon with different software companies and stuff like that. But Steam, they're basically having a bug bounty, offering white hat hackers to find vulnerabilities with the service and offering payouts for those that can document that stuff. So it's interesting. Apparently, they're using the CVSS system, so the Common Vulnerability Scoring System, and based on the success the hackers have, they will be earning between like $200 to up to $2,000 per each exploit that they can report on. So, I mean, it's interesting. It's nice to see that they're taking steps to try to improve security and stuff. But yeah, it's not unheard of.
I mean, I know you don't go like as into the weeds with hacking as to what it probably takes to do this stuff, but I'm kind of surprised you've never like tried your hand at some of this stuff. But I guess it's
I'm doing.
It's a little too like hard mode, huh?
Yeah, I don't care. There's no. Why would I want to do that?
Well, it's nice to hear a little financial incentive for some of the folks that want to make sure your information is secure and your games and all that, especially in this day and age where it seems like every other day some company's having a fucking breach of information, right? And then the thing that really kills me is when the company that's supposed to hold all your information had a breach of information. That was like Equifax, right?
Or they're going to like, oh, by the way, that breach was even bigger. Oh, and by the way, that breach was even bigger. Oh, did I mention it was even bigger?
So it is kind of nice because Steam did have an issue, I seem to remember, a while ago. Like, didn't they have a breach? Like, where you were getting pages that weren't your own and all this stuff? That happened, like, at the end of last year.
That's more of a mistake than a breach. Yeah. But.
Well, anyway, so it's nice to see that they are trying to, take measures to prevent that and, get some of the hackers to do some good things with their skills when it comes to hacking. Skills that, admittedly, we do not have here at Orange Lounge Radio.
Nope.
All right. But we do have the skills once a week to jump into the gaming vault and find a game that we want to talk about tonight. Because you should be playing this game. It's the classic game of the week. And once a week, every week during the month, except the time she does peripherals, Dark Sakura jumps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, you should be checking this game out. But, Dark Sakura's not here tonight. She's hanging out with drag queens. Choices. So, Anyway, I'm going to be picking the classic game of the week tonight, and I picked one that I hope you guys will enjoy. Maybe some of you will recognize a port, a very infamous port of this game, just from the lovely opening tune. Because the music in this game, when it finally got music, was so freaking good. Because the port of SimCity on the Super Nintendo was so good, and that's what I picked for the classic game of the week tonight, is SimCity. So I do want to technically say SimCity was on a ton. The original SimCity was on like 20 different platforms. Super Nintendo was one of them. It was like probably the only like console. Well, I don't know. The Game Boy Advance got it, I think. But like SimCity goes all the way back to the Commodore 64. SimCity goes back to like PC DOS. SimCity was on the ZX Spectrum. It was like on every system at the time. So, but Super Nintendo was just one of the more memorable ones, and it makes for a better soundtrack to listen to in the background while I talk a little bit about SimCity. Because obviously this was the game that started a series. The SimCity is why we have The Sims today. I mean, this is all what it all comes from. And SimCity was so successful, we had what? Sim Earth, Sim Ant. We got all the fucking Sim Tower, all that stuff. Anyway, what is SimCity? What do you do in SimCity? Well, SimCity, which was released in February of 1989, was, and I think the first version was Commodore 64, if I'm not mistaken. The first version was the Commodore 64. It was developed in 1985, but not published for another 4 years. So you know it's near and dear to my heart because it was a Commodore 64 game. So in SimCity, of course, you're trying to build a city. And it was different because it was a little more sandboxy. You didn't really have a specific goal. Like, you didn't... Like, there was no win condition, per se.
You mean the goal wasn't to just destroy my city all the time with Godzilla?
Well, and maybe that was your goal. So it depended. I think when they finally put it on the Super Nintendo, it was like, oh, you get little rewards for being, like, a metropolis and things like that. So they did try to put some goals and gamify it a little more. But in the original SimCity, it was just, you know, it was a little more of a sandbox. It was, you know, build this city up and manage it. So as you build your city, you can build power plants. And probably the biggest, you know, element was that you could zone areas as commercial, industrial, or residential. And you can add parks and things like that. And you can even get in there and change the tax rate, make sure everything's getting power, build light rail systems, as well as roads, other ways to enhance your cities. So as you do this, and probably why people love this game, is that you would actually see your city grow. And that you would see little houses in your residential district. And then those houses would turn into mid-rises, which would turn into high-rises. And you would start to see your city get bigger and bigger. And sometimes the commercial buildings would be churches or hospitals. You don't really know what they are until they show up. And I think that was part of the fun of the game.
Well,
was
I thought you could actually put down either fire departments or police
some
departments.
Of them, yeah. Fire department, police department specifically were like special things. But like when it came to things like hospitals and churches, you could, at least in the first version of the game, you couldn't place those. They were just commercial things.
Got it.
Yeah. And then like, you know, sometimes a strip mall might show up. You just don't know. And it has, you know, the industrial areas, the more of them you have, the more pollution you get. You have too much pollution, it keeps the residential people away. You keep the residential people away, then the commercial people don't want to develop. So there's this interesting kind of like rock, paper, scissors thing that goes on in trying to build your city efficiently, and everybody has their own way to build it. So anyway, later on when they did this for the Super Nintendo, you got even more special shit. You could do a mayor's mansion, you could do a casino. So the Super Nintendo kind of threw a Mario statue, I think, was there too. They threw some extra stuff in to kind of spice it up, you know, because the Super Nintendo version wasn't until the mid-90s, so this game was a few years old at that point. So they wanted to spice it up a little bit and give it that Nintendo touch. However, the big part of this game where, you know, people got, you know, really crazy with it is kind of where Loki's talking about. You might have disasters. Your town could flood. You could have a tornado. There might be a fire or an earthquake or a monster attack, like Godzilla attacks your town.
Or a nuclear meltdown.
Yeah, or a nuclear meltdown, which can happen to your power plant every, you know, so often. I should also say with the monster attack in the Super Nintendo version, again, what we're hearing in the background, Bowser would be the monster that would attack your city. So that was really cute, like the way they incorporated all that. There were also scenarios that you could play, and so that was a little more of the game where you had these like goal-centered scenarios that were timed. So for example, I think they had like a town that was like just a road running through the town, and your goal was to build up that town to like 100,000 people in so much time. Or, you know, oh, there's a nuclear meltdown that's going to happen in this city and you got to clean it all up. Or Godzilla is about to attack Tokyo, you know, which, yes, was one of the scenarios. And you have to make sure your city recovers from that and so forth. So it's kind of fun that they have those different scenarios. SimCity was made by Will Wright, infamous designer, and this is part of the reason why he's an infamous designer. Where did he come up with the idea from? It actually came from when he was working on the game Raid on Bungling Bay. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Bungling Bay? Bungling? I always said Bungling Bay, even though it makes it sound like, you bungled up the bay again! Caitlin, you bungled it up again! Anyway, so Raid on Bungling Bay was a game he was doing, and he kind of found as he was making the game, the map editor was the best part. And in fact, probably very few people remember Raid on Bungling Bay.
I have no idea what that is.
It was on the NES. It was like a little shooter game, but you would fly down these little maps. And so Will Wright had to make all those little cities that you were flying over. Huh. So he was like, well, this is the best part. So anyway, he developed this game, and he made it on Commodore 64. It was done in 85, but it was not published until 1989. The original working title of the game was Micropolis. Micropolis, I think is how you would say it. Micropolis. It's Micropolis, Micropolis. The game cannot be won or lost, which made it a little bit unique, and game publishers, for that reason, didn't really care for it. Finally, Broderbund to the rescue. That's right, the character behind such games as The Print Shop and publishing The Guardian Legend on the NES, Broderbund saved the day and published the title when Will Wright proposed it. And there you go. That was that. So SimCity then signed to Maxis to a distribution deal for both the initial games. And then SimCity came out for Amiga, Macintosh, IBM, Commodore 64. I mean, it was just everywhere is where it was. Now it's on iOS, too, if you want. So anyway, the Super Nintendo version, I got to talk about that a little bit, had its own ideas. Bowser, of course, became Godzilla. Once the city gets to 500,000 people, you get a Mario statue that you can put in the city. There's special buildings like casinos, large parks, amusement parks, expo centers. Some of these came in the sequel, SimCity 2000. You can also do a bank, and that will allow you to take out a loan of $10,000, but you have to pay it back before you can take out another loan. So that's kind of interesting that was a little feature there. So anyway, it ended up being a million seller, and it was Nintendo's player's choice. Also cute about this, the doctor that would help you through the game was named Dr. Wright, as a little bit of a nod to Will Wright. So it was, yeah. That's why he's named Dr. Wright, is after the creator of the game. So pretty neat. If you want to check out Micropolis, you can do that, because in January 2008, the source code was released under the free GPL3 license. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. So if you want to see the Micropolis source code, it's already been translated to C++ and so forth. So Micropolis, you can pretty much do whatever you want, but you can't call it SimCity because of EA's trademarks. Because what I'm not going to talk about is what happened to SimCity years later. We're going to just focus on the original. And
no one wants to remember
keep,
that.
Keep a memory of the good times. This game won awards upon awards upon awards. Best entertainment, best educational, best simulation. This game won a shit ton of awards because, I mean, it left a legacy. Here you go. Do you want to know what Sim games came out after SimCity? You ready?
Sure.
See if you can name them all. Sim Earth, Sim Farm, Sim Town, Sim Copter, Sim Ant, Sim Life, Sim Isle, Sim Tower, Sim Park, Sim Safari, Streets of Sim City, and The Sims. By the way, did you know they made a Simsville and a Sim Mars that they never released? There was a lot of fucking Sims. And probably my favorite in that entire list is Sim Ant, which will have to be a classic game of the week another week, because I could talk another 15 minutes about Sim Ant. I should note Sim Earth, though, was probably the biggest little spin-off game that they had. That was kind of like the next one that happened. Not to be confused with the direct sequels, but Sim Earth was kind of like the next one that happened. And Sim Earth, they also did on Super Nintendo at one point.
Yes.
And it was really complicated. I think that's why it probably didn't do as well, because it was a lot harder to understand. You know what I mean? These games were really crazy. So, anyway. I should talk about some sequels that came out after SimCity. There was SimCity 2000, SimCity 3000, SimCity 4, which had an expansion called Rush Hour, and then the reboot in 2013 that we don't talk about. Because EA, once again, And as we talk about EA's bad decisions in 2018, EA made a very bad decision in 2013 that I believe caused Maxis to go under, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because that's what EA has done. Anyway. But the SimCity, the original game, has left quite its legacy on gaming and was absolutely noteworthy to bring up tonight on the show. So there it is, your classic game of the week, SimCity. However, I could really, really, really not stop talking about this until I talk about the port of SimCity that was released on CD-ROM in 1994 by Interplay Productions.
Oh, yeah.
When they upped it to 256 color graphics, new music and sound effects, and full motion video. That's right. Full motion, horrible, horrible full motion video interspersed in for when certain things would happen to your town. And it was pretty ridiculous.
We need to locate her someday.
Well, oh, what find the actual people that did some of the full motion videos and all that.
SimCity Action News.
Let's see. For example, here's what happens if you build too many nuclear power
Watch
plants.
Watch residential zoning too.
That was supposed to be from the enhanced CD-ROM. I don't know if that was. Oh, yeah, it's like a full motion video from the CD-ROM. Oh, no, here it is. Here it is. This is the video I was looking for. These full motion videos ran at like 5 frames a second.
Finally in the news, 90-year-old Yancy Kornblatt was arrested last night for flashing for the 79th time. Kornblatt told the court that he was going to retire, but decided to stick it out one more year. We've just received an emergency report that a serious meltdown has occurred at the SimCity nuclear power plant. Plant may reach critical mass at any moment and explode. Above all, do not panic. Repeat, do not panic. Stay calm. Even though radiation may sear our flesh and turn us all into slithering slices of human spam, everything will be just peachy. Do not panic!
They've got to have... I got to imagine that...
Who is she?
They have to have... Like, I bet if we find somehow, through the magic of eBay, a box copy of that, they've got to have like an instruction manual with the
that
credits.
That has all the people in it.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Just no one probably is like, who the fuck would want me to put
I know, this? I know. Like, I'd send this email to somebody's agent and they'd be like, the fuck? Who wants to talk about SimCity from 24 years ago? God damn it. Here at Orange Lounge Radio, we do. We're asking the hard hitting
questions.
We
would record
here.
All of the bumpers.
Oh, SSJ100 Matt thinks he has a name. Because I feel this has come up on OLR before.
Oh, yeah.
So somebody probably already did this research. Oh, my God. It is. This is it. This is the name. This is her, Stephanie Fargo. All right. Yep, because she's got an actress. She's got one credit to her name, and that is the SimCity Enhanced CD-ROM as Carol Davenport, the Sim Action News Anchor. So we have a name. I'll do my best to track her down. Thank you, IMDb. She's got to have a Twitter. Everybody's got a Twitter, right? Anyway.
Maybe.
All right. Thank you, SSJ100 Matt. SSJ100 Matt said we already did this. We tracked this down a while ago, and that was as far as we got a name. So I just – it's been 730 episodes, y'all. I don't remember everything. All right. All right, we're going to take a break. But when we come back, there's plenty more Orange Songs Radio to look forward to, including rapid fire news. We're going to talk about what's in stores this week. Get to the mailbag, your emails, participate at orangeloungeradio.com. And we'll also get to the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. We'll get to all that and more when we come back with more Orange Songs Radio right after this. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio Live tonight, episode number 730 of our show, already in progress. Myself and Loki here in studio with you. Dark Sakura, she has the night off. She is visiting DragCon, not to be confused with DragGunCon, which is coming up over Labor Day weekend, where I will be in the Atlanta area, and I'm very much looking forward to that. Anyhow, I think we're going to get back into some rapid-fire news at this point. So, Loki, why don't you start us off?
All right. So, hey, Bloodstained's coming out sooner than you thought. Bloodstained Curse of the Moon, which is actually an 8-bit spinoff of Bloodstained. But that is coming out May 24th on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Vita, Switch, and Steam. And it's also very similar looking to like Castlevania 3. They're even going to have the ability to switch between characters as well. But it keeps like that kind of a retro NES art style to it. So I'm looking forward to checking that out because, yeah, looking forward to the actual main game too eventually whenever that comes out. But hey, this one's out in a couple weeks, so look for that. And then you may remember with the Switch coming out, they had, you know, different means to be able to play the Switch. One is tabletop mode, and it has a really janky-ass kickstand in the back that doesn't really cut it. And if you want to charge while you're using the kickstand, well, you better just fucking forget it. So Nintendo's decided that, hey, let's go ahead and put
out... Loki, how else am I going to play on the rooftop?
Well, the way I have
remember
to do
remember the
it
first
is,
Switch commercial?
Yes,
how else am I going to play on the rooftop?
Yes. So they have a new stand now that you can actually lean your Switch against that allows it to charge as well. So you can get that stand from Nintendo. It's an official adjustable charging stand for $20 or one of the many unofficial ones that are available now as well, which is what I'm using. And this doesn't actually, it doesn't look like it, it like literally plugs into it, but I don't see that it includes like another, you know, AC adapter plug or anything like that. I think it's just more of a moving the plug around.
So it's kind of like a little piece of plastic, but that also kind of extends, the, you know, moves the plug around a little bit to help you out, basically.
I don't know. I think I got mine.
How much they want for it?
$20. It's coming out July 13th if you're interested in that.
All right. One of those games you might be playing in tabletop mode on your Switch is Runner 3. That is, of course, Bit Trip Runner 3, but now I guess they just shortened it now. It's just Runner 3. So for whatever reason, they've shortened the name of the series. The series is pretty fun. I remember the first game was good, and then that second game was out like everywhere. They had on like every system, and I think it was a giveaway game at one point on PlayStation Plus or one of those. But anyhow, there are going to be some characters that are going to show up in this game, some guest characters that I think are pretty interesting, including Eddie Riggs from Brutal Legend. Kind of a throwback.
Yeah.
Brutal Legend. Yeah, that was like a one and done kind of series there. Shovel Knight will be a playable character.
Practically
in
all the games now.
Yeah, that's pretty rad though. But here's the other one that is crazy for a playable character. Charles Martinet, the voice of Mario, will be a playable character. No. Not Charles Martinet voicing something. Not Mario. It's actually Charles Martinet is the character. And you can even see the little but he's not new to the series. He did the voicing in part two. So kind of random, but hilarious. So that's pretty great. Anyhow, obviously, of course, you know that Charles Martinet voices Mario, Luigi, Waluigi, Wario, and he was the narrator, of course, in Bit Trip Runner 2. So he is jumping on into the series, but bum. And one more rapid-fire news story for you, and I couldn't get through an episode of Orange Lounge Radio and not acknowledge the hard-working talents of Dark Tetsuya behind the scenes. And I know he is extremely jazzed about, so shout out to Dark Tetsuya when I mentioned La Mulana 2. He's probably this game's biggest fan. And La Mulana 2 is going to be coming out during the summer on PC and Mac. Yeah, there was a Kickstarter campaign for this game back in 2014. And so here it is. La Mulana 2 is finally here all these years. So you can check out a teaser that is available online, and the game will be out soon. It looks a lot like the first one, but it's probably going to be really fucking hard as well. But I think it'll be really fun. So check that out. Let's travel around and check out what is in stores this week, starting with the U.S.
Yes. So we have a few things coming out this week. So starting off with Battle Chasers Night War, and that's going to be coming out on the Switch. Little Witch Academia Chamber of Time on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Shin Megami Tensei Strange Journey Redux on 3DS. We have a game called Far Lone Sails on PC. The Banner Saga is coming out on the Switch. Yonder the Cloud Catcher Chronicles also on the Switch. Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition on the Switch. And Little Nightmares Complete Edition on the Switch. That's it.
All right. Well, last week was a holiday week in Japan, so things had slowed down significantly. But we do have some releases finally back on target this week. Starting on May 17th, we're going to see in Japan Caligula Overdose is out on the PlayStation 4. That is going to be out this week. Sadly, the Vita doesn't get that, but they do get a game called Amasutsumi is coming out from Prototype. That is also on May 17th. And then checking out the Nintendo Switch, nothing. There is no Nintendo Switch releases this week. I'm not sure if they have anything on the 3DS either. They're still kind of trickling in a little bit on the 3DS. No, not in Japan this week. So it's pretty light, but they are coming right off a holiday week in Japan right now. So that's what Japan looks like. Are you able to do the UK for us, Loki?
Yeah, I'm going to attempt to do that. So let's see here. In the UK, we've got Hitman Definitive Edition, the Day One Steelbook Edition. That's out on Xbox One, PlayStation 4. They also have the regular Definitive Edition as well. And what else we have here? Looks like Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition also making its way out there as well. And State of Decay 2 Ultimate Edition, that's coming out as well on the Xbox One. And also I see they are doing steelbook for that one as well. One more here. So we've got Dragon Crown Pro Hardened Edition that's coming out. And Dragon Crown, if you remember from last week, we talked about it. Big Anime Breasts, yes.
That's, yay! That's the game.
So, and they're also getting Battle Chasers Nightwall as well on the Switch. And that looks like that's about it.
All right. Let's go to the mailbag, because every week we invite you to email us. Participate at orangelaundradio.com if you want to participate with our show and send us some lovely love mail. Or I guess you could send a hate mail, but I don't like hate mail. I don't think you should send that. Send love mail instead. Or just send mail. If you're not a lover or a hater, just send mail. Anyway, we got one email tonight, but I'll take it. It's from our old friend YYR. We love hearing from YYR here at OLR. And starts off as YYR usually does, saying, "Hello, LR. Just doing my usual-ish thing of addressing a few things from last week's show. Rob, you mentioned playing Streets of Rage for a bit and then losing interest. Here's my advice. First of all, forget the first game. Streets of Rage 2 is better in absolutely every respect, so play that. And don't just play it willy-nilly. Try to complete the game without continues. This will require that you learn your character's complete moveset and try to maximize your score. Higher score means more extra lives. The best designed beat-em-ups give you lots of tough spots to work through and make you think on your feet in order to win. Streets of Rage 2 is a great game, and if you do stick with it, I'm sure you'll have a great time." You know, I should have clarified last week. I do know that Streets of Rage 2 is the better game. I don't know why I felt the need to play 1 first. I think it's just that whole thing of, like, you know, when you get to sit down and watch all the movies, you start with the first one.
You have to
one.
Play the crappy one first to appreciate how good the second
yes,
one is.
It's something like that. And I didn't really anticipate spending a lot of time with Streets of Rage. I think it's one of those things that we do with classic games and, you know, with emulation. And maybe this, you know, not to get the red alert noise out, but maybe this ties in a little bit to Nintendo's whole thing and the Netflix thing, is that sometimes I'll play a game for, like, you know, 30 seconds, and then it's like, oh, okay, it's like I got a little sample out of the frozen yogurt machine. I got a little sample of what I wanted. I got to taste it. I'm good. I remember this now. Now, granted, I played a little more than that of Streets of Rage 1, but I don't know. Sometimes you just want a little taste.
I'm just super excited that Nintendo's releasing soccer and tennis as some of their titles, because I know I couldn't miss playing soccer or tennis.
Well, you know what just came out on Arcade Archives was 10-Yard Fight. How about that first football release?
That's better than soccer or tennis.
I'm loading up the red alert. I'm loading it up. All right. We need to continue with YYR's email, which says, "On another note, yes, I'm pretty sure that Dave and Buster's has gotten rid of all their Derby Owners Club setups at every location by now. Womp womp. But if you miss it, I have a game recommendation for you. Dust off your 3DS, head to the eShop, and buy Pocket Card Jockey by Game Freak." Yes, the same developer as Pokemon. Pocket Card Jockey is basically a fusion of Derby Owners Club and Solitaire. Don't even ask, well, how the hell does that work? Just know that it's awesome. I was obsessed with it for probably about 6 months straight back when it came out. It costs $7 and it's worth far more. There's a demo available, but don't even bother. Just buy it and play it obsessively. You're welcome. You know, that's the same thing I would say about super multitasking. Just buy it and play it obsessively. There you go, YYR. Shout out for you. I had not heard of this game. I know Game Freak does stuff that's not Pokemon because they also did that Harmonite game on 3DS. Yeah. And that's pretty good. So I don't know how I missed this Pocket Card Jockey, but your recommendation carries a lot of weight with me, YYR. I will strongly consider that. Do I get to name the horses? That's the most important part. It's not fun if I can't whip the horses named after things that, you know, need some whipping. I'll mention one more thing from last week that you guys might not have noticed. Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze came out last week on the Switch for $60. But did you know that a few days prior to that release, the Wii U version of Tropical Freeze was pulled from the North American eShop? That version only cost $20. I just looked and can confirm that it is still gone. You may still be able to find physical copies for $20, but don't you think this is a bit messed up? Anyway, thanks once again for producing the show and have a great week. Hugs, Aaron YYR.
Never messed up. It's not like that they would take away the options of purchasing games and, you know, I'm not even going to try to drag this into it.
Here's the thing. I don't think Nintendo's the only company to do this. We've seen other companies that will come out with the remastered edition or whatever. And it's like, and to be fair, it's not an exact copy. They did add some stuff to this. But we've seen, like, other companies with their remastered edition and so forth. Like, you know, you can't really find the old ones as easy and all that stuff anymore. I don't think this is a thing unique to Nintendo. The reason why I didn't bring it up on last week's show, I thought I had saw something where it came back on the store, so it was only temporarily missing. Apparently, that little nugget of information I saw must have been wrong because you said you just checked and you didn't send this email that long ago. So I guess it did actually disappear there. But one other thing to maybe ask yourself is, well, how many people still have a Wii U to play it on? So Nintendo's trying to get some of that cost of game development back. Maybe it's one of those games that'll go on sale a little sooner rather than later, because you know Nintendo games like never go on sale. Maybe this will be one of them that does because of the fact that the Wii U one kind of exists. So anyway, there is one more important thing that YYR said in the email that I do need to make sure we get out here, saying, P.S., I agree that Tacos Are Fantastic would be a wonderful subtitle for Pixel Poops number 2. Now, there's a very distinct way he wrote that. Pixel Poops number 2.
Right. That's kind of, I think I meant that in that sense as well.
But that's also, like, I see what you did there, YYR. And so if he simply names the game Pixel Poops number 2, that's really funny. And so, and if he even makes the fucking game, I mean, he's got other things going on right now. But someday, inevitably, when he's bored enough and puts pen to paper, maybe we'll see Pixel Poops number 2.
Let's put Pixel Poops stuff in multitasking.
There you go. A little cross marketing.
Everybody's doing crossovers with, like, different things.
All right.
Put Shovel Knight in there. Everyone looks over there.
Just put Charles Martinet in it. All right.
Charles Martinet playing Charles Martinet.
Uh-oh. YYR in chat says, OMG, why did I not think of that? BRB.
Like, that would have been the first thing I did. Hey, I've got all these assets they made for other games. I'm putting all that shit in there.
Well, Recycle those assets. He did. Because the shooter stuff came from that shooter game, and I'm sorry, I can't remember what it was called in the moment, YYR, but that shooter, the shooter gallery game, you know, point blankish type of thing he did on 360. All those assets were the same, but there was no, like, Snake 360 redo or anything like that. So, sharp shooter. Thank you, YYR. Anyway.
Yes, he should have had Snake in there.
You know, YYR, if you do add a couple new boards to the game, then it allows it to be back out there all over again. Because now it's like, you know, oh, new free DLC. And then you're going to get people that will run an article on it because, oh, there's free DLC. There's new boards. But I say it like DLC is this easy thing to implement. I'm sure it's not. All right. Anyway, let's move on and get into some more gaming news. And Loki, we'll start with you. Speaking of Steam and a place you can play super multitasking, right?
Yeah, exactly. So Steam is going to... there. You may remember the Steam Link. It's still something that's being sold. Well, now they're saying that they're going to be coming out with a Steam Link app. And it will allow Steam users to play their games on Android and iOS devices. So phones, tablets, and even Apple TV. And if they're connected via Wi-Fi or Ethernet to the same network, or you have, if they're, of course, they're connected to the same network as your PC or Mac that you have Steam installed on. Also, they're saying it's going to be compatible with a variety of controllers, Steam controllers, MFI controllers as well. And so that's going to be pretty awesome. I thought I also read on here, too, that they were going to work on something for, I hope, Android TV, because I have an Android TV, and that would make it nice and convenient. I have a Steam Link. I just haven't actually set it up yet, because once again, you know, if I have my laptop in front of me, I'll just play on my laptop. But it is comes in handy, though, for games. Like, I have some Lego games on my Steam library, and if my kids wanted to play those multiplayer, I don't have to, like, plug in a cable to my computer so that they can do that. So it would be nice to see that available. But yeah, if they have Android TV support, that would be even better. Then I've already got that. So we'll see you in a couple weeks.
So, but why would I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think, like, what stuff from Steam would I really want to play on the go? And I'm like, eh.
Well, you wouldn't really even play it on the go. This would be, like, it has to be on the same network. So
oh,
it's in your
okay.
house.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's true. So you can't really, like, play. Yeah, playing it over LTE would be a bit much.
It'd be more
or
like
internet.
Playing it, like, on a tablet. So instead of having to have, like, a monitor or something like that, you would just have, you know, just a device that you can play it on.
And I guess if you had a Bluetooth controller, then you could run that with the tablet, right? Or would a Steam thing work with the tablet? Yeah. I guess if it was the right tablet.
Yeah, if it...
Not an iPad.
Yeah, right. You could...
No, I guess it's all Bluetooth, so maybe it would work with iPad.
Yeah, might. Yeah. So, I mean, it's cool. It's neat to have other options. I mean, I'd have to check it out and see how well it works. I certainly wouldn't want to play with just the phone. I mean,
yeah,
God.
I wouldn't want to play, like, Civilization...
I'm not a heathen.
I wouldn't want to play, like, Civilization 6. But you have people in chat that are saying, a couple of people saying Super Hexagon, which, I mean, is already a standalone iOS game anyway. So maybe something simple like that would work. The other thing I was thinking of, and sometimes we forget this, you guys, Steam got into movies a while ago. You can buy movies, right? You can still buy them, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I know, like, Indie Game the Movie. That was one of the first. And then there was a few. There was that trickled out there. So, I mean, this would be a way for Steam to do more, I guess, if you will, traditional media. That I understand a lot, being able to beam that from Steam to, you know, your to your iPad when you're in the bed or something. So that could be something. All right. Well, something that you're not going to be able to buy on Steam, at least right away anyway, is Roller Coaster Tycoon 3. Yeah. Atari has cut off the ability to buy this game, and it's because Frontier Developments did file a lawsuit over unpaid royalties from the game. I don't know why this lawsuit news apparently came from TMZ, of all places. Like, why the fuck is TMZ doing gaming?
Yeah, like, why are they covering that?
I think the word Atari still kind of resonates with a certain crowd. It's like, remember
Atari's
how...
Atari's a big company, right?
Yeah, remember how rad the 80s were? Let's see what Atari's doing. Oh, Atari's on Judge Judy. You know, whatever's going on. Anyway, so Roller Coaster 3 Tycoon developer Frontier Developments said in the suit that they alleged that Atari failed to pay out $2.2 million in royalties. Frontier, which made the deal with Atari to develop the game way back in 2003, wasn't able to pursue the unpaid balance when Atari went through bankruptcy in 2013. But now that Atari's fortunes have reversed and the company is at a profit, must be those Atari boxes that they're planning for 2019, Frontier wants their damn money. So the developer wants an audit of the royalties owed and says, basically in a nutshell, bitch, give me my money. So in response, Atari has pulled the game from the pending litigation. They haven't really said why, but we know why. The listing is still there. You just can't buy the game. Other games that Frontier worked on after that, Jurassic World Evolution, Elite Dangerous is also a big title that same company worked on. But I think y'all know Roller Coaster Tycoon. So anyway, weird that it didn't just disappear from the store altogether, but maybe they had to do that for some reason to, like, kind of allow you to still download it if you own it type of thing. Maybe they see this as temporary, like it's going to come back when they resolve all this lawsuit stuff. But if they well, of course they'll resolve it. There's always a freaking settlement in these types of cases. There's not going to be a trial here. There'll be a settlement. And then it'll come back. We'll see. You a fan of Roller Coaster Tycoon, Loki?
I didn't really play them. I have some of them, though, from Humble Bundles.
I haven't played it since, like, the very first one. But I still, and I know I've mentioned this on the show, it's a while ago now, one of my favorite YouTubes is when they're doing the roller coaster in the first person, and it's playing like Rihanna's, like, you know, do 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 do, and they're all like having fun, and then the roller coaster just floop, flies off the rails, and the song instantly turns to Adele. It's all sad as all these people fall and there's flames everywhere. That is my favorite thing to have come out of that series in a very long time. Thank you, SG100. Dude, he's on fire tonight. He's got this. He's got all this stuff bookmarked from old episodes. I'm not going to play it on air, but you can look at it and check.
Yeah, I've got the one I have is actually I've got both that and I've got No Limits Roller Coaster, No Limits 2 Roller Coaster Simulator. That one's VR, so that one's pretty fun.
Oh, okay.
But I have Roller Coaster Tycoon 2. I don't see 3 in here though.
All right. Let's move on with some more news, Loki.
All right. So this is different, but Nintendo's revealed that they're going to be releasing a Japanese-exclusive Famicom Mini to celebrate Shonen Jump's anniversary. So it's the 50th anniversary of Shonen Jump, and with that, the Famicom system is going to have different games on there than when they released the Famicom Mini before. So they've got, like, Tag Team Match Muscle, Dragon Quest, Fist of the North Star, Dragon Ball. They've got some Saint Seiya games, Famicom Jump. Let's see. Yeah, a few Dragon Ball games. But quite a bit, you know, all Shonen Jump properties. So interesting, though, that they're doing that. And that's going to be something that's available in Japan July 7th.
So do you think, I mean, when I put the show roll together, we didn't have the late breaking news about the confirmed NES, you know, going to be back on the shelves in June. So I guess it's kind of a moot point now, because I was wondering, like, oh, well, when the NES Classic comes back, do you think they're going to sweeten the pot by adding a few games to it? Maybe some sort of tie-in to get the people who bought it the first time to buy it again. Although, I don't know, if I had bought it the first time and they put out a new one with like 3 extra games, I'd probably be pretty pissed. So
all I want to know is, are those controllers longer again? I bet they're not.
I don't think we know yet. For all we know, it's the exact same thing.
Probably is.
But the Super Nintendo ones, I think, were a little longer.
Right.
So maybe, who knows? It's not for sure that it's going to be the short cords again. But we'll probably be asking some of these questions of Nintendo in the coming days. Maybe E3. This seems like very much a thing that Treehouse would probably bring up in their days-long stream, that they might go like, oh, don't forget, guys, the Nintendo's coming out. NES Classic is being re-released on the end of June. And here's what they look like if you forget. And either you're going to see an NES sitting there with longer cords, or it's going to be the same thing as before.
And even though no one's paying attention to this, we must tell you that all 30 games in there are all copies of the Guardian Legend.
Now that...
And we're releasing only one system and somewhere in Alaska, Antarctica.
We're going to go for... Where are all the Kmarts in Alaska? I'm on my way. All right. Hey, this sounds like a pretty neat Switch title that's on its way pretty soon. This crossover fighting game, Crystal Crisis. I think Crystal Crisis is supposed to be like maybe kind of like Puzzle Fighter, although I don't know if
it looks like Puzzle Fighter.
Yeah, it kind of really does look like a Puzzle Fighter type of thing. But it's
all indies.
And Nisalis is the company doing this?
Yeah,
is that how you say it? Okay. They are putting like all these kind of like indie characters in the game. So when it was Puzzle Fighter, it was all the Capcom characters, right? So in this one, it's going to be different indie characters, such as the little thing from Cave Story. That looks like the little Binding of Isaac.
It is
character.
Binding of Isaac.
Yeah. I don't have a list here in this story of all the different characters. What are the characters?
Yeah, it's on here. So they've got you're talking about. So they've got Astro Boy, which is kind of interesting.
That's pretty cool.
They had the Turbo Duo spokesman. They said Johnny Turbo. Code of Princess, Cave Story. I know they did Binding of Isaac, as you mentioned. I'm not sure who any of these other characters are, though. But lots of different characters.
So yeah, it is a Switch title that was revealed at Bit Summit in Kyoto, where which is why we're getting some indie news this week, you guys. Actually, it's where some of this news tonight came from, was this whole thing. So they showed off the game, and it's going to be coming out on the Switch. The early trailer is in Japanese, so you know, you may not be able to understand it all, but you can see all the characters that are in it. And I don't know if we have a date yet. I don't think so. I think we just have fall for North America and Europe. That's all we know. Fall. So, but that, you know, especially if Puzzle Fighter kind of dies on the phones and they don't end up doing a console release of that game, this might be a neat substitute.
And there's some anime in there too. Like, I see Blackjack is something that's in there.
Hmm. That's
else?
Really cool.
Yeah, I don't know who these characters are. Sadly, I mean, I know who Astro Boy is, but
of course, of course. So, all right, well, we'll check out that when it comes out on the Nintendo Switch in the fall. But Loki, just a couple more stories for you guys, and we're going to open up the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio. But first, Loki.
Yeah, so there's Pokemon Go Fest coming out again. Yes, Pokemon Go Fest 2018, and they've already sold out in their tickets in an hour. So Pokemon Go Fest is going to be, I guess, coming to Chicago again, and they're switching up which park's going to be at. I know that.
Yeah, they're going to, I think, what's a much bigger park. I'm not as familiar. I didn't go there when I was there last year. But I think it is a bigger, like, park right along, like, the coastal area.
Yeah, so they said that it is going to be, they're leaving Grant Park for Lincoln Park, they said, which has 1.8 miles of walking path. And they're going to have some new physical installations there and activities for trainers of all ages. And yeah, they said, well, of course, the tickets went on sale May 11th, but they're already sold out.
Of course they are. So people pretty quick to forgive last year and sign up to go again. It sounds like what? There's 2 days of this event and you could buy a ticket for one day or the other.
Right. And then they also have, there's also, this isn't the only one that they're doing. There's also going to be Pokemon Go Summer Tour, which is kicking off in Germany on June 30th as well. So there's stuff. And then they're saying that also that goes all the way. They're going around the world to Japan. That's where it's going to end.
And I think the Go Fest is going to tie into Community Day somehow as well. Like, you're going to be able to participate remotely, you know, even if you can't go to Go Fest, there will be some cool things that you can do so you don't feel so left out because you didn't get to go.
Hopefully. Because yeah. I can't go to Chicago.
No. And what's
and I would be hesitant to go to Chicago again, especially with, you know, how the last one turned out.
Yeah.
I would hope that it's better this time, but...
Well, I love Chicago, yeah. But I'm already going to be... Just like last time, I already booked my trip to be there 2 weeks before. So I'll be there 2 weeks before, but I won't be able to be there for the event. So because it makes no sense to go back just for that 2 weeks after the fact. So who knows? ActDefs theorizes in chat at live.vognetwork.com, like regionals, perhaps. Maybe we'll see some more regionals released that you can get maybe only during the event. That would be a pretty cool thing. Make some people very happy.
Maybe.
Certainly people at the event will probably be able to chase unknowns. I know is a big thing. So there was a Pokemon that was spotted in the little video that is available currently only in India, I believe. Or not in the video, in the little picture. So they're thinking that regionals could actually show up. So maybe that Pokemon that's region locked right now will be available for everybody. That's Torkoal is the one that's available only in India right now. So maybe that will be them throwing the Switch on for Gen 4. Who knows? There could be a big new feature for the game for GoFest, because last year we got the gym redo happened when I was in Chicago. So it was like 2 weeks prior to GoFest. And it was all the 1, 2, 3, and 4 star raids at first, right?
Right.
And then, because the very first raid I ever did in Pokemon Go was a Totodile. No, what's the second form? Croquemaw. Okay. I did a raid for that at that fountain. I think it's Buckingham Fountain or something. It's the fountain that's in the opening credits of Married with Children.
Got it.
That's the very first raid I did, was at that fountain. And then what they did at GoFest 2 or 3 weeks later is they added, oh, legendaries. Lugia is out now, as is Articuno, because Mystic won all the catch stuff for the day, because that's how everybody was getting in with GoFest around the world. So, and that's kind of where the, that's where the Community Day stuff, I think, came from, because, you know, I remember when I was down at the Capitol during GoFest, because they said, oh, you get all these bonuses in the game if you get so many catches and all this stuff, right? So we were all down at the Capitol, like a ton of us, and it was like the day the game first came out. It was crazy. Tons of people everywhere. So that's, and ever since then, when they've done the Community Days, it's been the same thing. I've gone to the Capitol Park every single Community Day except the one I was out of town, the Bulbasaur Day when I was out of town. But like Capitol Park is always like hopping, so we'll probably go there. I think there's one coming right up, like next week of the week. Yeah, I think it's next weekend. I think next weekend is the Charmander Day, May 19th. Yeah, so I'll probably go out there again. So good times. So anyway, the whole reason why I brought up the raid in the first place I did is that, you know, they did make some big changes to the game and rolled that out at GoFest. So who knows? Maybe there will be another big addition to the
trading,
game.
Battling, that'd be crazy.
That, yeah, trading would be huge, or PvP, that would be a huge thing. Gen 4 would be something that I would think would be... Because, you know, to be fair, we did just get the questing thing, the research tasks.
Yeah.
Which, if you haven't played Pokemon Go in a while... Like, the research tasks are a huge change and a really welcome one, because the nice thing is now is that if you don't raid, it looks like they are slowly rolling out those Mon through these tasks, because now Moltres was the first one that you could get from the research task. That was last month. Now Zapdos this month. So, like, you can kind of catch up on a lot of those legendaries you missed because you don't raid through the research task. And the little trade-off is that those that did do the raiding, theirs are 5 levels higher usually, 10 if you lucked out with a weather boost, they're 5 or 10 levels higher. I feel like there's something else with that. Oh, and you had them for a longer time. You've already had them for a year or so. Anyway, yeah, so that's it for Pokemon Go then, right?
That's it.
All right, so we'll see if our buddy, because we had our friend from the Pokemon Go podcast, Charles, was there last year. So maybe we'll have to, I haven't checked with him to see if he's going again this year. So I'll find out soon. Maybe we can get him back this year. Anyhow, let's talk about, lastly tonight, some big news on Pinball Arcade. This is the Farsight Studios production that takes real pinball tables and kind of converts them for use on your PlayStation 4, your PC, your iOS. It's everywhere,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, everything.
They even had them on like PS3. And I mean, I don't think they work on those versions anymore, and they haven't for a while. But anyway, this is going to be a pretty big loss for them, and that is that the licensing agreement for Williams and Bally pinball trademarks is not going to be renewed. So this means tables that you can purchase now will no longer be purchasable as of I think it's June 30th is the day that these are all going to go away. I'm not going to read the entire list of tables. But there's some big ones that are going to be leaving. One of my favorites, Pinbot, including tables that were crowdfunded. The Addams Family, which I think they were on this show promoting that one. I think it was that one they were here. Farsight came on this show. Terminator 2 Judgment Day, I think, was one they crowdfunded for. That is going to be going away. So that's kind of a bummer. Doctor Who, the 92 table, that is going away. World Cup Soccer, Jamie's fave, that is going to be going away. One of my other faves, Theater of Magic, one of the all-time greats, Elvira and the Party Monsters. All of these games going to be going away, or all these tables going to be going away and no longer purchasable. So, of course, if you own it, you can play it forever. If you are kind of like thinking, oh, I'll hold out for the big goodbye sale, don't do it, because Farsight's licensing agreement, they are banned from offering discounts. Probably due to the fact that many of these tables do involve some complicated intellectual properties, because, you know, it's like you have the Addams Family, you have the characters that are on the table. I mean, they have to license all of that. So yeah, that's probably why they're not allowed to do discounts. So the 7 current seasons are $30 a pop. So if you want every table, it's going to cost you $210. Maybe you don't want every table, though. Maybe you only need certain ones. You can buy individual tables and 2-packs from inside the game, so check that out if you want. Farsight has said that Season 8 will be Stern Games. It's going to take some of the tables from Stern Pinball Arcade, as well as some others. So there are still some other table companies that they can work with, but that's a pretty big loss, sadly. I don't know if I wonder why they weren't able to get the renewal. I wonder if Williams and Bally priced them out, if they plan to do their own thing, or what the hell's going on. So it would be great if maybe they could work that out. But that really sucks, especially with the crowdfunded tables. Although, to be fair, anyone who paid to get those tables made got their copy of the table, so it's not like you're really losing anything in this. So, Bobby Blackwolf points out on Facebook, all they said is, we don't know why they decided not to renew. And so they are telling Farsight that they're not renewing. There was no negotiation. So that makes it sound like EA got the license. No, I'm just kidding. I made that up. But isn't that a scary conclusion to jump to? All right. Anyhow.
No one wants that.
Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you want to give us a call and say hello, talk about anything that we've talked about tonight, or maybe something else. Maybe there's something we weren't able to bring up on the show and you want to bring that up now. We can do that. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype is the place to be. And we'll get your calls here shortly. I think we do have calls coming in. Let's lighten up tonight. So let's get to it. And we'll start here. Hello, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, guys. It's Aaron, YYR.
Hey, we had an email and a call tonight. It's doubles. What's up, buddy?
Well, actually, I was planning to call in and mention the business about the pinball arcade, but turns out that was the very last story.
Well, what are your thoughts on this whole thing?
I don't think a lot of people realize just how big of a deal this is. If you go through... And by the way, the Pinball Arcade, it really is on everything. It's on Android, iOS, Mac, Windows, PS3, Vita, PS4, 360, Xbox One, Wii U, Kindle Fire, Ouya, and now Switch.
Except the Switch version already has these tables gone.
Yeah, that was a real kicker. Now, here's the thing. The Switch version came out, and it had all the tables in it. It was available for about 8 hours, and then it was pulled from the eShop. That was a few weeks ago. It just came back a few days ago, and all of it had been scrubbed already.
So you got to wonder if something about the Nintendo Switch version is what set this whole thing off.
You know, it's hard to say, and a few other people have speculated that maybe it had something to do with VR, because there are now some VR pinball simulations available, and it's really cool, because you know how, I don't know, have you played the Pinball Arcade at all, or any of the previous versions?
Oh, yeah, I backed Adam's Family.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I've played it, yeah.
And yeah, then you know that, you know, there are some camera views available, and, you know, the view changes based on where the ball is sometimes. But if you imagine how much more control over the view you would have if you do it in VR, you can imagine that it's kind of a whole new game, and the level of the simulation just... it's completely different. So some people are speculating that maybe they made a deal with somebody else to basically remake all of these games in VR. Hmm. But honestly, like, it's hard to imagine that anyone else is going to jump through all of the necessary hoops to make things like this possible. Just as one example, Terminator 2 Judgment Day. If you want to do that table, not only do you need to have access to the original table to be able to take it apart, understand how all of it works, and reproduce it, mm-hmm. but you also need the movie license, and you need Arnold Schwarzenegger's okay to use his likeness. So that's a lot of work. And what I was getting at earlier was, if you look at the 96 pinball tables that are currently in the Pinball Arcade, Bally and Williams, which are all getting cut from the game, that represents 63 of those tables, or about 2/3 of everything available in that game.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah, so Bobby in chat just said it was 61 tables out of 99.
Oh, okay. 61. I was close. But, I mean, basically, you're gutting it. It's hard to imagine that they're going to be able to keep going. I mean, Stern is a big deal because they are the only ones besides, I think, Jersey Jack Pinball and maybe a few other indie outposts still producing pinball machines. But, I mean, if you're looking at historical pinball games, that's the big one. they're really losing like most of the game there, and it's really sad.
No, and so. as I think that we mentioned this maybe on the call during Bobby's show, but I was mentioning how, like, you know, the money that probably still rolls in slowly from the sales of this, you know, is probably helping to, you know, fund Farsight Studios. This is going to be a huge loss for them, so I hope everything's okay.
Yeah, apparently the early seasons, especially number one, which, I mean, the first three seasons in particular, there are so many quality tables in them.
Mm. I do...
Pretty...
Oh.
When you look at how many there are.
You're cutting out a little bit, mm-hmm. YYR. I'm losing like a little bit of your phrases. Hopefully when the connection reestablishes here. You were mentioning the first three seasons have such good tables.
Yeah, and there's a lot of them. There used to be more tables included in the early seasons than the later ones. So season one and two represent a great value, and one through four basically have a ton of classics, including Adam's Family. So it's hard to pick and choose. It really is.
I was going to say thank you, Dark Tetsuya, our Wiki Pro. Episode 570 was when Farsight Studios was on the show. So if you want to go back.
Oh, because wow.
I'm almost positive during that interview, and I think it was the Addams Family table they were promoting at the time, because I remember backing it, and I thought it was a result of that, or just the fact that I wanted to back it, because I love that table. I remember them talking about how you don't – and it's exactly what you're saying about Terminator. You don't have to just license – you know, this one thing. You have to license the estate of Raul Julia, who is a deceased actor, whose likeness is in the game, whose voice is in the game. You have to license all of that.
Yeah, and it's hard to imagine that any other company, EA or otherwise, is going to really be able to reproduce all of what Farsight did. Like, yeah. I don't even know how.
So, well, I mean, tipping our hat to Farsight Studios for doing, you know, what they could all these years. And hopefully, maybe, I don't know, maybe some of the fact that this news has caught fire and it is kind of stunning a lot of people, maybe this will put some pressure on Bally Williams. Although, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to see that their minds need to be changed, especially if they're not making money per table. Maybe if they were making money per table sold, they might be more into it. But if they were paid a flat fee, maybe they don't really give a shit.
Hmm. Well, I guess we have about 6 weeks to find out.
That's true. So we'll see. We'll see if this news catches any fire. But I would imagine there's already people tweeting at them, because that's what we do this day and age. We're mad at companies. We send them tweets. Why you no license the tables?
I will say this much. The company that now has these rights, they're basically a company that produces gambling machines now. And so this is probably such an insignificant portion of their revenue that it probably is just a drop in the bucket to them anyway.
Is it the same Bally still that runs the casino in Vegas?
They're called something different now. Mm. I'm not sure what of Bally they still retain, but I mean, basically it's just they're like Konami, I guess.
Oh, I hate that comparison, but yes, very true. Very, very true. All right, my friend. Well, I'm going to let you go so we can take some more calls, but thank you for sharing your input on this you know, whole big change for Pinball Arcade.
Yeah, it really stinks, but I hope there's a good way forward from this. And I'll leave you with this.
Yes.
If you do decide to take the plunge on Pocket Card Jockey, yes, you can name all your horses whatever you want.
Good to know. Good to know. Note
Have
me.
A great week.
All right, my friend. Take care.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, my God. The phones are on fire tonight. We got a little time. I'll try to get to as many of these as I can. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is ActDeft.
Hey, ActDeft. What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, sorry. I'm going to expand a little bit on the Nintendo Switch Online thing.
Uh-oh, I'm getting my red alert out. No. You get to have your say, too. What's up?
And aside the NES games and all that, I have a more legit concern, at least in my aspect, because if some of you have learned or seen from either from Twitter or Flacco Jones Splatoon 2 streams, you can all know that I cannot play any Switch game online since March. Because of my internet provider and the connection it provides, it's my NAT. It isn't either A or B, which is what it should be. It's either D or F. Why is that? Because I don't have a direct connection. I use cable internet. And that pretty much doesn't let me play online, with at least with the Switch. I can play on the PS4, I can play on the Xbox, and all that stuff. And it isn't Nintendo's fault entirely. But here's my point. Nintendo uses peer-to-peer connections. It isn't dedicated servers or anything like that. So my question here for you is, do you want to pay Nintendo, aside the Nintendo Entertainment System stuff, aside the cloud saves, if it were only the online connection, but you and in this case, you know that it's a peer-to-peer connection, it isn't servers, would you still pay for the service?
I'm thinking, that's why I've got dead air going on here, because I do feel like it's hard for me to not discount the Netflix type service, because in a way that's kind of like selling it for me. I also feel that the other companies have been charging online for years now, so it makes sense that Nintendo's coming to the table. They are doing it cheaper, but you do make a good point. If it's not dedicated servers, if it's peer-to-peer, but don't they still have to run at least like matchmaking servers or something? What connects you to those other players in Splatoon? That isn't magic. Like, Nintendo's got to be written. Like, maybe once you're in the game, now it's peer-to-peer. But there's still got to be, like, matchmaking servers, right?
I think so, but I'm not sure exactly if that's the case.
So I still think if that's the case, then it's still a little bit justified, but at least they're charging a lesser price. Like, if Nintendo was charging $60 for this, I'd be like, okay, hold up, because you guys don't even have, like, basic voice chat system. And no, I'm not buying the app. That app is not good. Maybe if they improve the app, it'll sweeten the pot a little bit. But for their lower price, and considering they're throwing in the NES classics, which I'm sorry, it's hard for me to ignore that, I do think it's something I will pick up. If the NES classics things weren't there, I would really have to consider, because then it's just online play. Is there something I want to play online? Yes or no? Splatoon, I've cooled down a little bit on that compared to you and Flacco. I mean, I certainly don't dislike Splatoon by any means, but I've just kind of, you know, gone to other games, as we sometimes do. But when Smash comes out, I might want to be able to play that online. Do I need to play that online for a year? No, but I might want to play it online for a month. But then, YYR in chat says, whatever someone would answer to this question now, the answer may change when Animal Crossing comes out. And there's the big ticket item there. Now, if Animal Crossing comes out and it's really going to open up your village 24/7 for some types of interactions there, because, you know, you've got, you know, more central servers and stuff or whatever, depending on these online capabilities of Animal Crossing, that one, my friend, that would probably sell it to me right there.
And yeah, that's definitely a good thing, because we're going to get more games, starting with Smash. And he also adds, Pokemon. That's going to be a big thing.
That's true. This encourages Nintendo, for better or for worse, Loki, to do more online stuff. Because now they know if they put online in games, that could be a constant revenue stream for them. So it kind of forces Nintendo to look at a calendar already. Loki, you want to chime in on this? Or are you spent?
I'm not expecting much from them, whether they're charging for it or not. I don't think just because they're now charging for it that they're all of a sudden become better at what they're doing.
But you don't really play any Nintendo games online right now.
No,
anyway,
I don't.
Right?
But
so I wouldn't expect that you would buy this for any reason.
No, I'm still going to, just in case I want to, but I'm not. I don't want. Well, no.
After all that, you guys.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
To that extent, I don't really play PlayStation 4 games online either. I play mostly single player stuff. I still pay for that just in case if I want to play with somebody online.
Okay.
Same with this. I would pay for it just with the thought that I may want to play a game online with somebody at some point, like Mario Kart or something. I won't have to like, oh, wait, I better go buy my online thing to go do that. You know, that's why. It's not because, oh, yeah, I'm just saying I hate all their stuff now, but truly, I love it all. I think it's so many. No, I don't. I'm sorry. I think it's really underwhelming, but it's the gateway that I have. It's what I have to pay in order to play online.
I wish I'd gotten you to say that in the beginning of the show, that you're going to pay for the service anyway. I think that would have been a very important footnote. But anyway.
But yeah.
SSG100 Matt says, rips it to hell, but is going to buy it anyway. You know what?
That's why I got a Switch. Hello.
Have you ever logged on to Twitter? Any of you? Have any of you looked at Twitter.com? Anyway, sorry, ActDeft. I didn't mean to derail your call. What's your perspective on this? I mean, you have the online issues. So, I mean, if Nintendo's going to want to, like, charge for that, then they kind of, like, have to fix them. So, I mean, it goes without saying, if online doesn't work, you're not going to pay for it, because what the fuck are you paying for? But let's assume that maybe something about having money under it finally fixes it for you. What are your thoughts on it?
And that's the thing. I actually do want them to change. Not use peer-to-peer, because it's not a problem that's only affecting me. It's affecting a lot of people. There's a lot of if you search, like, NAT problems, Switch, on Google, you're going to find, like, tons of people complaining about this. And some it is an easy fix for most people. But in my case, that my ISP isn't letting me change that, at least fix the problem myself, I have to pay them 600 pesos, which is like around $25 a month to get a private IP for me to let me play online. I'm not going to pay that. And especially since I have to pay for the Switch service online, I really, really want them to fix this, because even like with the NES games and all that stuff, it's good, and the price isn't that bad. But I would actually like to play online. I haven't played a Splatoon that much because of that thing alone.
What has your internet service provider said about this?
And I called them, and they said, oh, you have to pay. That's it. And I'm like, really?
Wait, you have to pay to get an answer out of them, or you have to pay for them to flip a Switch?
Yeah, I have to pay them to flip a Switch every month. So, no, fuck that.
And so there it is in chat. Bobby Blackwell says, welcome to net neutrality. Or lack thereof, as the case may be. What are net neutrality laws in Mexico, or are there any?
Oh, no, we don't have any. So it's only this ISP, because other ISPs let you fix this problem like you fight yourself.
And there's not.
But in this case, and especially, and I have researched this, because again, it's been like 2 months.
Sure.
And it's because of the how cable networks work here, especially here in Mexico, that it isn't a direct connection. You share the connection with other people, so that's why. And you have to pay the ISP here to get a direct connection, to get a private IP in this case.
So as brought up in chat, it's more kind of about Mexico's internet infrastructure to begin with.
Yep. It sucks.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Deft, but I hope there's something that can be done to help you out.
But yeah, I hope that Nintendo like changes things here, at least with the... instead of being peer-to-peer, to be a dedicated server, so that way, I can play. Because, again, I can play in the PS4, I can play like things like Overwatch, Street Fighter, other stuff on other consoles, but I cannot play any game on the Switch Online. So hopefully that changes with the service.
But if not, then your ISP hopefully will come around as more and more people get Switches. Who knows?
Hopefully that happens too.
Yeah, because I think that would happen sooner than the other, but we'll see. All right, well, ActDeft, I'm gonna don't stop raising a fuss. Use social media if you have to with your ISP. I'm not talking about Nintendo. I'm talking about your ISP. So, anyway, all right, take care, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to hear from you as always. Take care. All right, more calls. Longer show, more calls, but it's good. A lot of news this week. Hi, you're on Orange Sounds Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on, everyone? It's Ronma.
Hey, Ronma. It's always good to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Not too much. It was two things I wanted to talk about. One, I forgot, and I'll probably send an email in after I hear the show. And the second thing jogged my memory as I'm sitting here restoring my computer, taking care of business. This is in regards to an article from a few weeks ago when y'all talked about the Steam links being pushed to another section of Steam's website.
What did you want to say about it?
The thing is, I'm not surprised because I'll be the first to say it. I don't think Steam links were that popular to begin with. And that also falls on the lines of the Steam machines. And to be perfectly honest, we all know the reason why Gabe Newell pushed Steam machines because he has a hard-on for hatred of Windows. In a way, I don't blame him, but as you can see, nobody is doing Steam machines.
You have to get a lot of the offices to get off of Windows before you're going to get the homes off of Windows, if that makes sense. I mean, this is where Microsoft makes its killing, is the office life.
Yes, and I remember a time when Best Buy was selling Linux in retail stores for like $50. And you can look at it. It looks like Windows. It kind of feels like Windows, but it doesn't taste like Windows. It's right. Like, you know, and
or it's like how I use OpenOffice because I've historically been too cheap to get Word on my home, or, you know, Microsoft Office on my home computer. It's like, it's close.
Rob, I'll tell you this. If you use it at work, you can use it at home, and I can tell you how.
Oh, I'll have to follow up with you offline. I do use it at work.
Mm-hmm.
All right, fair enough.
And the funny thing is about that, that's not a secret. It's more or less a known fact. It's just that IT guys just doesn't like to tell other people, even though Microsoft says go ahead and tell the other people.
Well, because they can't control what you do at home.
Yeah, because I'll say this. If you're using Office at work and you log in with a Microsoft account, like Office 365, each user has 5 licenses. So if you log in with your Office account at work, you could download you can go to the website, log in, and download a copy for your home personal use.
I'm going to look into that. Thank you for that tip, because I had no idea about that. I mean, I enjoy OpenOffice well enough. I think they've done a very good job considering what kind of project it is. But it would be nice to have something that I can open, you know, directly and all that stuff. It would be nice.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, before I really went back into being more oriented with Office, I followed OpenOffice, but I stopped because there is an issue between Excel and Calc. Sometimes the formulas do not add up properly on both. So
is correct. And Calc is actually how I make the show rules for this show. But luckily, no math is involved, so it works out okay. All I need is something that exports to HTML, which I know Office can do too.
Mm-hmm. See, you use Calc. I actually use OneNote. It makes it easier for my crew because they can just log in, drop articles in. I just go in, make the outline, be like, log in here, done. So.
Yep.
But we kind of really strayed off the beaten path here. What I'm saying is I enjoy Steam just as everybody else, but I'm not going to sit here and build a $1,000 Steam box to play maybe, I don't know, a third or two-thirds of my collection, even though there are more games that are more Linux and Mac OS friendly. Every game that's on Steam plays on Windows. And as far as I recall, with a Steam machine, you're not really going to be able to stream a Windows game for your PC to your Steam box.
Yeah, you know, and the Steam box thing, I always had a hard time understanding who that was for, you know, and so the fact that they are they're fading a little bit, they're moving into the background, backup singers, isn't totally surprising to me. Steam Link, I don't know. I always thought maybe there was a better calling for that, because especially when Steam got more into movies and stuff, but I kind of feel like Steam kind of like brought out movies and then really didn't do anything with it. Like, I feel like they missed the ball on that.
Yeah. I mean, if you built a Steam box and you loaded it where all you have to do is load the software, log in with your Steam account and bring everything forward, I think that would be good, but you still have extra steps to do that. Hell, I mean, with Windows 10S that's coming down the route, I mean, if you could just have a decent front end for like a media PC where you don't have to do anything special, you just turn it on and it just comes right up like a console, you're good.
Yes. Agree.
I mean, think about it. I mean, Xbox, 360, One, they're all Windows OSs, but it boots directly to a front end. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see, and the thing is, nobody's really kind of making that forward. You kind of can by building your own machine and running scripts or automatic executables to bring it right up. But you should be able to just have like a special like front end edition of Windows where you load it, you log in. Then once you log in, you tell the front end to come up, you reboot, you're golden.
Well, I got to say, though, you know, when it comes to like the Steam Link, as much as I'm sitting here going, oh, the Steam Link is something that makes more sense. Honestly, I can't tell you the last time I used mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I want to play a computer game, sometimes I just want to be sitting at the computer.
Exactly. And I mean, my apartment is probably the size of your studio. So yeah. I could either go to my TV to play whatever consoles. If I want to jump on Steam, I just walk 4 feet over back to my PC and sit down in front and go for the gusto.
Yeah, and Raginator is giving a very similar scenario in chat, saying my PC is right next to my new 40-inch TV, so Steambox and Steam Link are unnecessary for me. Like, if your living space or situation is small enough where it's kind of like all in the same place anyway, you know, then it doesn't make a lot of sense. But, you know, Alan and I rent a 3-bedroom house, so we thought it made more sense for us, but even then it's not really needed. Like, if I want to play something like Civilization on Steam, I'm going to do that on the TV. Mm. Now, if I end up dumping $210 to get all 7 pinball arcade seasons, maybe that's something I do. I don't think I'll really do that, but I might buy some of these tables on PC that are like my fave ones and then kind of go from there. But yeah.
Okay. Now that you mentioned Civilization, now I remember the other thing I want to talk about, SimCity.
Oh, okay.
You're talking to someone who sat there in junior high and high school. It would just play SimCity nonstop.
Dude, that game is a classic. I used to play that game a shit ton on our very first, like, 386 PC. I used to play that game all the time.
I wanted SimTown so badly because I thought it was a fun game. I just wanted it so badly. I wanted SimCity for Super Nintendo when it came out, but I was told you got to pick this or that, but because they didn't have SimCity in at the time. So I was like, tear.
Aw.
But I actually went digging. I'm seriously thinking about purchasing SimCity 4 to play. Seriously.
just so you can do some SimCity playing. Whatever you do, don't buy the 2013 version.
I want you to know I bought SimCity CD. I lost it in my move, but I tell you, I actually had a physical copy of it. And on our podcast, Anime Jam Session, I think it was last season. It might be this season. Ari, his intro music is from SimCity.
I had the SimCity 94 CD-ROM as well, and hell if I know where that is now. It's probably in my dad's garage somewhere. That's going to be a fucking treasure if I find that someday.
Well, if you find that, I would love a copy in exchange. I'll hook you up with copies of Sonic CD and Sonic R for PC that came out years ago, because I just stumbled across them. Now I'm trying to find my copy of Last Bronx and the other Sega fighting game that came out on PC.
By the way, I see the chat happening right now between you and Bobby in chat, and I would actually agree with him too. City Skylines is kind of like what we think SimCity, the new one, should have been. So if you haven't even played City Skylines yet, that might satisfy the itch. And there's a lot of people playing.
Plus, they have the expansion now. So if like you wanted to play Roller Coaster Tycoon 3 as well, on top of that, they have that theme park.
Right,
expansion.
They have the theme park expansion. So I'm gonna give a hearty OLR recommendation to that to you.
You know what? I might just have to, because before SimCity came out for mobile, I kept looking around for a game that came close, but it's like, you had to do these extra features in order to do this one thing. I'm just like, I can't sit here and play this. So no. So I'm definitely going to have to check into that.
Yeah. I definitely recommend.
Mm-hmm. Raginators. I may just have to. I mean, between that, Age of Empires and Mini Metro, I think I'm going to be a happy little nerd for a while.
All right. Well, remember to go outside once in a while and drink plenty of water.
I have no choice but to go outside. It's called work. I have no choice but to drink water. I mean, there's a water fountain at work. So, you know, okay. I got to pay for the habit, and you can't tell if you can hear it. I'm tapping that vein, and that's the vein where I inject the money to play the games. And right. What's in that injection? The weekly paycheck.
That certainly doesn't sound like tapping a vein.
I know. I'm glad to know your basic needs are taken care of, Rama.
Well, let's not talk about my Friday night, okay?
All right. I'm going to let you go so we can try to squeeze in one more call, but thank you.
Bye.
All right, bye. We'll see if we can squeeze in one more call. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. Loki, I haven't really been looking to you for last-minute stories. Anything else you want to bring up here?
Yeah, we got lots of stuff. So Super Mario 64 Online is coming back. And they had that whole cease and desist that came down. That, for those who don't remember, that was the online multiplayer version of Super Mario 64. That
it
was
let you play Waluigi in it.
Yes, now you can play Waluigi and Sonic and Knuckles and a bunch of other characters. Plus, they've added a Capture the Flag mode as well. So that's out there now.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. And then there's...
Let me get to a call, actually. We got one more call coming in. I'm going to try to grab this here. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Raging Eater.
Hey, buddy. What's on your mind tonight?
Not a whole lot. Two topics. I'll start with the one that I immediately called in about.
Okay.
Everyone knows, Ivaga, I've been mainly a PC gamer for the past... going on 6 years now,
yep.
And I have dabbled on with the 360 to a certain degree over the past few months.
Yep.
And of course, I grew up with console gaming, and God knows I play virtually anything put in front of me. Now, with all that being said, would you recommend getting a current gen system, be it the Switch, Xbox One, or a PS4, considering that I got games up the ass on PC, or should I just stick to mainly PC?
I'm not sure that's something we can answer for you, Raginator, because you have to ask yourself, is what you have enough? Do you feel satisfied with what you have? Do you think there's enough for the entertainment in those things that you have? And I'm sure, I know you're a deal hunter, and we make a lot of jokes here on OLR about the, free games and all that stuff. But I'm sure over the years you've built up quite a little library on your 360 and your PC. And if that is enough to satisfy you, then you know what? Then you're good, and you don't have to buy these systems just because other people are buying these systems. It doesn't make you any less of a gamer or anything like that. Now, on the other hand, if you're sitting there going, God, I see these videos for Breath of the Wild, and I see these things for Mario Odyssey, and man, I am missing the fuck out because these things are not on PC. Or, that goes other ways too. If you're watching, clips of PlayStation 4 games, like, God, I really want to be able to play Horizon or God of War. God, everybody's fucking raving about God of War, but it's like, I can't get that on PC. Then you have to start asking yourself, that harder question of, well, like any luxury, like going on a trip, going, getting booze one night, going to a movie, like any luxury, is it worth the effort for me to really save for that to enjoy that? Or would my money be better spent just, I get the same satisfaction out of finding 10 bargains for $5 a pop on the 360.
Yeah, my line of thought is, don't get me wrong, I love PC gaming. I'm always talking about this deal, that deal, whatever. I get more PC games than I can possibly count or play in a lifetime. But, in fact, you kind of touched on it. PC gaming doesn't have everything, Sony has the Uncharted series, Microsoft has like the Forza series, and hell, I just picked up Forza Horizon 2 on my 360 not too long ago. I'm enjoying the crap out of that. And unfortunately, as far as I know, to get anything newer than Forza Horizon 2, I would probably have to get an Xbox One, so that's where I'm kind of now having this little debate, so.
Well, Yep. I all I can really do is wish you luck in that. It seems like you would get a lot of value out of Xbox One because of the fact you have the backwards compatibility and all that stuff. But at the same time, you know, you already have a rich Microsoft library. Maybe it's time to go to Nintendo. But don't forget that is that not only do you have to get the system, you have to get the games. So one thing that the Xbox One would give you is that, well, you already have several games that are going to carry around on over to Xbox One, but they're not going to look any different than they do now on 360. A lot of that is a convenience thing when it comes to many of those games. Anyway, you said you had another question. Let's get to that real quick.
Yeah, well, I kind of touched on that to a degree when I called Bobby's show earlier, but I thought I'd comment on the whole pinball arcade losing the book of the tables.
What's your thought?
Well, the thing is, I can understand why they're losing it. Unfortunately, Farsight, can't control, what Williams is doing.
Right.
But at the same time, I kind of set to see the tables go. Unfortunately, I've been kind of neglecting buying the seasons and whatnot for that game compared to the pinball effects. These games, whether you're talking about pinball effects or pinball arcade, they're fun as hell. I'm sure Bobby can attest to that. You guys can attest to that. I mean, no.
Well, I don't know if Dark Sakura was here. She'd say, I have the real thing in my garage. But not everybody has that, and we know that. Not everybody takes their pinball love to that level. That's a very special level. You know what, though? I want to bring up an interesting point from Brad from Pod Culture in our chat, who says, used OG XB1s are pretty cheapish. You know, he makes a good point because, you know, how we talked about the whole, like, luxury budget, you know, and you mentioned that you're into the pinball arcade. Now, not that I don't think you've maybe dropped this much on pinball arcade, especially all at once. But we all know that, you know, there's not going to be a sale for Pinball Arcade. So I'm sorry to break your heart on that, but that is due to the licensing and all that. So the reality is all seven seasons here before they go away are going to be $210. Yeah. Whether you bought them before or you buy them now, it's going to set you back over $200. You know what, Regener? That's about the price of a used Xbox One.
Yeah. Well, admittedly, to date, I had bought two full seasons season 2 and season 3, and I think I bought, the occasional eyeball table, like the next Star Trek Next Generation table, and I think one other one. But so I won't necessarily have to drop the full $210 between now and the end of June. But even then, I won't be able to drop all that money, for all the seasons, so I'm going to have to be a little selective
Then. I'm not going to drop all that money either, because some of these machines I just don't have that same attachment to. Like F-14 Tomcat, I'm sure it's a fine table, a solid table, but not one that evokes those childhood memories in the same way that, say, Tales of Arabian Nights or the Pinbot family does. You know, it's not quite the same thing, so I might be a little more picky choosy too.
Yeah, and the thing is, I don't live in California like you guys, and I never had the chance to go to these cons or whatever you want to call them that have all these pinball tables on display. And most places that are in my area that have had arcades over the years, very rarely if ever have pinball tables, so a lot of these classic tables I never had really got a chance to play over the years. It's mostly actual upright arcade games more than anything. So
keep an eye out, Ragenator. You never know when they'll show up in the area.
Yeah, so a lot of these classic pinball tables I'm playing for the first time through pinball arcade. So with these tables gonna hurt a little bit. So
yeah, hopefully, even though I think Farsight did a fine job and deserves to keep the license, I mean, the reality is if Williams is gonna revoke it and they're taking it somewhere else, I hope they're at least going to be able to put this out somewhere else. But you know, based on everything we talked about with YYR, it's not going to be as easy as just getting the table, because especially with these things that tie into TV and movies, it goes a whole lot deeper than that. And another company may not have that drive that Farsight had. Anyway,
all right,
I'm going to let you go so we can wrap up. But thank you so much for the call.
All right, sure. Have a nice night.
Yep, you too. Bye. All right, that will do it for the show tonight, because I do know Bobby's going to be doing a live stream here after the show. I don't want to keep him up too late, so I do want to wrap things up. Let me just quickly get like the Cliff Note headlines from you here of anything else we missed here, Loki.
We talked about that that Crystal whatever game.
Yeah.
So they also have a fighting game that's coming out too.
Oh, cool.
So that one was called Blade Strangers, and it also has some similar characters as well. They have the Binding of Isaac. Quote from Cave Story, Gunvolt from Azure Strikers, Gunvolt, Solange from Code Princess, and they had like other characters in there as well, so that looked kind of cool. And yeah, I guess that's about it. There's a new SNES game coming from Devolver Digital, Fork Parker's Crunch Out. Talking about video game developer crunch. And so that's something that you can actually get on a physical cart. They're going to have actual playable cartridges for $50 each. Or you can get a special edition for $150.
Hmm.
So interesting. And if you want to check that out, I believe they have it on megacatstudios.com. That's it.
That's it. All right. Well, I want to thank you guys for downloading and checking out our show tonight. Oh, Bobby Blackwolf is saying, I bought this Super Nintendo game and I paid for the special edition cart. Happy birthday to me. Yes, happy birthday to you. You know what? You get to spend that luxury money on whatever you want, and nobody gets to judge you for it. It's your money. And it's also your time, and we appreciate you taking the time out to listen to OLR every week. I hope we helped you get through the workday or the commute or live on Sunday night or however you choose to partake in Orange Lounge Radio. We really appreciate you guys downloading the show and listening live and checking it out. If you enjoyed what you heard here, please tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but if the voices aren't here, you know, we can't air them. So that is really going to do it here. A 5-star review on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you found this show. Those go a very long way as well. Loki, you have any final thoughts for our listeners tonight?
Hopefully I will work on game development again. I've been trying to this week, but I've been just like really tired. I've been haven't been able to sleep well, and between my kids and the cat, because the cat decides to throw up in the most inconvenient spot at 3 in the morning and then sprint around the house, throwing up in every single room there. So that was annoying. I just want to sit down and actually build a program, but I just don't have the mental capacity to do that at that point. It's like almost like just go to sleep. So I'm going to try this week. I'm hoping. Although if it's anything like today, outlook's not very positive.
All right, and my final thought is I hope to get in some more game playing this week. It's been very, very busy this week, and will probably continue to be for another couple weeks, but hoping to get some more gaming time in soon. So that is going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. We want to thank you guys again for taking the time out with us this week.
Sorry.
You better make it fast, because I'm wrapping it up.
Random tangent. Ugh. I found some ice cream today. It's maple pancake ice cream. So it's maple ice cream with bits of pancake and butter in it.
Okay, next time you're gonna interrupt me with that, you better fucking bring me some.
I almost did today. I almost did. Next week.
Alright. Alright, that's it. We're done. We're out of here. Dark Soccer will be back next week, so we will all be here to do it all again. Until then, goodbye and thanks.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.